much about.
You gotta put it into perspective.
Come on, let's face it. Guys like me and you don't have jobs like being on the radio. We listen to the radio while we're at our jobs.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This is not how I wanted to wake up.
Are you taking your panties off? You took off your panties?
Stop whoring around, Paris. Stop being a whore.
I know how I am, so that's fine. They call it mystery meat.
I'm Paris Hilton, and I approve this message. I think it's totally hot.
Shine po dick, thy lonely guy.
1, 2, 3, circle sucks. 4, 5, 6, Mike's gay.
And now, Psycho Mike, is that his name?
Yes, Psycho Mike.
Psycho Mike. And I think he is Armenian, isn't he?
Our feature presentation.
Yes, he is the answer to that. Yes, he is.
Armenian or Mexican. Either way.
Yeah, the funny thing to me about that is that that's the only time my name or my likeness has ever been mentioned on radio where my father actually appreciated it.
Because
it was on an AM talk station.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A right-wing AM Republican guy.
And I love that he probably doesn't know the difference between Armenians and Mexicans. They're just brown people, whoever they are. What the hell? Hey, we're going to take your telephone calls in 1 minute at 1-800-520-1067 for the Tuesday edition of What It Do Nephew. Kevin, I have to ask you about this because you've got all the kids. What do you got? You got like 11 kids or something like that now?
Not sure.
So many, you don't know.
This is please explain the mindset here. This is Dale and Darren Chalk. They live down in Australia. They're in the news this week. She is 31, by the way. They're in the news this week because they just had twins. Congratulations. Oh, they also had quadruplets back in 2005. Oh, I'm sorry. They also had quadruplets in 2004.
Wow. A year apart?
Yes. So, okay, are we keeping track now?
Four, eight, that's
10. They also have a 6-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old daughter. So they got 12 kids now.
Yeah.
Now, after you have the first group of quadruplets in 2004, now you've got 6 kids.
Right.
Wouldn't any reasonable person say, mission accomplished?
I look at that and I say, it isn't possible to take care of kids like they should be taken care of.
But God is giving you however many kids you can handle.
Was it a religious thing, Bean?
It doesn't say. It does say fertility. Fertility drugs were involved, which leads me to believe that they don't have enough faith in God to give them the kids that they're supposed to have, because otherwise, why would they be going to science?
That is a good point.
I don't know. It seems like families used to be much bigger in the old days. Like, my dad came from a family of 12 kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's no way I could deal with that.
No.
Well,
no
they
way.
Just, you know what? They didn't raise kids. You know, they didn't raise kids the way we do today. You didn't get personal attention.
Yeah, true.
You didn't have special needs that they took care of. They didn't take you to soccer and whatever. They threw you out the door and said, go play and come back when it's dark and then do your chores.
And be happy.
You're
about
right
it.
About that. And I'm telling you what, Lisa, you watched The Mad Men. The extent of child raising on that show is come down for dinner and now go up to your room or go out and play. That's the extent of parenting that goes on in that
house. They have no awareness of what's going on with those kids.
12
yeah.
kids.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, man.
I can understand up to the first set of quadruplets and now you've got 6 kids. Because maybe, you know, 4 was more than you were going for with the fertility drugs, but you wanted another one. Okay, I understand this. So now you've got 6. But how do you come back the next year and have 4 more? And then how do you come back now and have 2 more?
Crazy.
That's the part that blows me
Octomom.
Away.
Octomom.
And how is that woman's uterus not dragging on the ground?
Yeah. How do you know it isn't?
Good point.
Well, the
maybe
only
that's
other thing.
Why they took fertility because he can't.
Yeah, maybe.
There's that famous family, Bean. Isn't there a famous family?
The Dungers,
like 20
yeah.
or something?
They got 18, yeah.
18
and she's pregnant
kids.
With the 19s.
Yes. They're just going for a world record, right?
And that family was just in the news this week because the oldest of the 18 kids just had his first kid this week.
Wow.
So now those parents are grandparents now.
Now the competition is on.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
I look at that.
God.
And I love kids. Love,
right.
love.
But not 12.
Nope. Not
you,
six.
You wouldn't get to know them.
You just can't spend time with them, and it just doesn't, for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you're just wrangling.
I got TV to watch. I got stuff to do. I don't have that kind
busy,
of time.
Busy, busy man.
Right.
I guess you just give them numbers at that point. You don't even bother with names because you can't remember them
four,
all. They all look
pass
alike.
The salt. Four.
Well, the only other thing I'll say is this new family that I'm talking about, they are in Australia, so maybe, you know, there's a risk of losing a bunch of them to dingoes, so they just want to make sure they've got some left over in the event that that happens. All right, 1-800-520-1067, time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Mike and I were talking recently with all the vacations going on this show. What happens when Steve has to go? That's the one that's going to hurt us the most.
Steve doesn't get vacation. He has to hit it.
That's my fear is with no Steve, we can't play any audio. All right, here's what you get for being on the air with us today. A pair of tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain's Fright Fest, along with tickets to go see Morrissey. Oh, that explains why the phones are so busy this morning.
Ah.
Morrissey is playing at the Fox Theater on December the 7th or the Gibson Theater Amphitheater on December the 10th. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10, but you'll win them right now if you get on the air with us.
All right, let's start with Oscar this morning. Hi, Oscar.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. What to do?
Just talking to you guys about the Monday night game last night. Five touchdowns in the fourth quarter, not to mention Miami winning it with 6 seconds to go.
Oh, I missed it. I didn't see the game.
Oh, it was a great game. It was just back and forth in the fourth quarter. Miami would come with a touchdown. The Jets would come back with a touchdown. I'll tell you this, Mark Sanchez looked like a all-pro already, not even like a rookie.
Woo! Woo!
This is Mark Sanchez who lost the game, right?
Yeah, but you know what? No matter, you know, it was their defense that lost the game. He just had a...
Right.
You know, as long as he did his part.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, honestly, he looked, you know, real good. You know, I thought he was going to, you know, for his Monday night game, he was going to look kind of bad, but he came out and looked like he was playing back in SC again.
Yeah, he's been pretty impressive, that's for sure. He's definitely a bright spot, and he's helping the Jets out a lot. Because, you know, that hack they had last year, Brett Favre, that guy didn't know
what he was doing.
Thank God they got it. They finally got a real quarterback in there.
Let's not forget, he's beautiful, too. He's goddamn beautiful.
I wish my Raiders had him instead.
Oh, you're a Raiders fan?
Yeah.
Dude, you got to be depressed.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. You know,
it's all right. We have next season. He's already saved.
Five games in.
unless the team is going to be sold, you don't have next season either.
Yeah, well, at least I already took off my F the hater stickers off. So, you
did? Okay, good.
Oh, good for you. Good
nicely
for you.
Done. Thank you.
We may have to do a phone topic with Raider fans who have finally given up. And what they're doing about it.
Listen, I can't
root for another team.
The team doesn't deserve their support. I honestly believe that the fans are too good for the team.
I saw another story yesterday. I just saw the headline online. I did not click on it, so I do not have details. But it suggested that their owner is interested in moving the team back to Southern California again.
Yeah.
Really?
Sure. But Southern California doesn't want them, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. But
I bet you there'd be a huge groundswell of support.
Yeah,
well, I guess to a certain extent, there are people who want football too, and they don't care who it is. Because let's face it, if the Raiders come to town, at least that way you get to see the other teams in the league.
Right.
All right. Let's go to Esteban. Hi, Esteban.
How'd it do, nephew?
How'd it do?
What'd it do?
You know, I think the reason we've hung on to what it do so long, that by the way, is how Snoop Dogg greets people, is because none of us can pull it off.
Nor can our listeners.
Nor can our listeners, and it always cracks me up. All right, go ahead, Esteban.
This weekend I saw the American Idiot play in Berkeley. It was absolutely amazing.
Oh, the musical. I've heard great things about it.
This is a play in Berkeley where they use all Green Day songs from American Idiot and a few of the new CD.
It's good story and stuff.
It's actually three different stories put together. It actually makes a lot more sense, and it brings the music out really well. It
awesome.
Makes a lot more sense.
That's very excited. That's good news, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Good to know.
Thank you for the call on that. We appreciate it. We caught up with the Green Day guys when we were in New York last month, and they told us that right now there is an end date that I think was, you know, early November or something like that. But if the tickets sell the way they've been selling, there was a possibility they would extend it, and eventually they hoped to take it on the road. So maybe everybody will get a chance to see it. Let's talk to Johnny. He's on line 5 with an interesting topic this morning. Hey, Johnny, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
Hello.
So, I was watching MTV last night, with my fiance, and there's a special called Me and My Big Breasts. And it was about women who had large breasts and who were complaining about having large breasts.
Giant size cans.
They were complaining because they're a pain in the ass kind of a thing? They hurt or
back
whatever?
Pain.
Yeah, well, I guess. I mean, some of them had just double D's, and I was like, oh my God, are you serious?
Yes, Psycho Mike.
Johnny, you speak the truth. Thank you for calling in. I happened to catch this special as well. And what utter BS this was.
Utter.
Did you say utter?
You said utter.
Joke?
Yeah. Nicely done.
Look, complaining about having big boobs is like complaining about having too much money or being too thin. I mean, it's no or one is going to feel sorry for you.
I like how all the men in the room are scoffing.
Lisa, here's the problem. I understand if you're one of these girls like Soleil Moonfry, who was Punky Brewster, who has back problems, and it takes away.
Because she's got G's or something.
Some of these girls were just fat chicks with big boobs.
And what was their complaint?
I'm, you know, it's hard for me. I feel uncomfortable because other girls, they pick on me because I have big boobs, and I feel like they judge me, and like guys are always hitting on me because. And I was thinking to myself, why don't we just give them like a trial week without them before they jump to any conclusions? Because these girls really didn't have much else to offer besides the fact that they had circus boobs.
Try circus boobs is a good band name.
I agree.
Try living ugly. Try that. Try without boobs, and then you'll go, oh, it isn't so bad.
And as much fun as we make of Cleo out there with her gigantor boobies, she embraces them.
That's correct.
And these girls need to take a page out of her book and understand that they get you somewhere in life.
That's right. Hey, believe me, Cleo is dumb as a box of rocks. You think she'd be working here? No, I'm serious. Would she be working here if it weren't for those? Come on.
Do not be mean to her.
I'm just adding to what Mike said, which is they get you things. That's all.
Yeah.
That's not what Mike said, that she was dumb as a box of rocks.
I heard it from Mike. I'm just repeating his opinion. Listen, we gotta figure out when that show is on again and bring in some tape from that. Because you're absolutely right. You know what? Those women, if they're going to be on TV complaining about their big boobs, then they should be put down. I mean, that's really where I'm headed.
That seems extreme.
Okay, well, listen, why don't they interview a couple girls with A-cups and see how they feel about this problem that these girls supposedly have?
Quote-unquote problem, exactly.
All right.
Well, we'll leave it there. Great calls. We got more for you tomorrow. How about today's Kevin and Bean Show? Worth sticking around for?
Sure, absolutely. Okay, yes, absolutely. We're going to talk to process servers today.
Oh, yes. I can't wait.
Love that. It's a bizarre game they play.
Yeah.
We are going to talk to Adam Sessler. He's going to be in studio from GeForce X Play. He's going to tell us all about Brutal Legend.
Yeah!
Can't wait. The Phantom of the Opera has Asperger's. We'll explain that today. Hmm. Jessica Stroop from 90210.
Allegedly.
Will be in the studio.
And not allegedly from 90210, allegedly on our show, because we thought she was going to be here yesterday.
And hopefully we'll get Dewan a chance to talk to her because he loves her.
He does.
Loves. Got the new internet roundup, which is awesome. And we're going to tell you about a town in China where they are all midgets. That's the wrong word,
the whole
right?
Town?
I can't say that anymore, right?
Small people. Little people.
Small people. Dwarfs. And people used to drive over there just to see them and point and laugh. So now they started charging money and they pretty much just created a circus.
So that's they great. Figure they're coming through anyway. Let's make some money.
Exactly.
Good for them.
Exactly.
All right.
We have long heard rumors of places like, you know, Midgetville. And now it sounds like this one's for real.
So we got that coming up this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, you ever come near Midgetville? And I'll kick your
motherfucking
ass.
Oh, wow. We'll tell you where all the midgets are living coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, Ralph is on vacation. We're continuing to take a look at the Showbiz Beat. Boy, what a day yesterday about that Michael Jackson song. Did you see some of that coverage, Kevin?
I did not.
It was crazy. We debuted at MichaelJackson.com, one of the new unreleased songs. We were told there are many, many songs in the vault, so they debuted one on MichaelJackson.com. We played some of it for you here yesterday and commented on what a horrible song it was. And yesterday was nothing but threats of lawsuits and lawsuits being settled all in a matter of a few hours.
Why?
Because it turns out that that song was co-written with Paul Anka, who was a very, very popular singer-songwriter in the 50s through the 80s.
Right.
He wrote that song with Michael Jackson back in 1983, was going to put it on his album, and Michael Jackson stole the tapes. Okay?
So already. Really?
Yeah. Michael Jackson stole the tapes. So then it comes out yesterday. Paul Anka doesn't know anything about this, by the way. The song has been completely redone and re-recorded, and it's the exact same song, same melody, everything like that, but they changed the title of it. And he finds out about it when he hears it on the radio yesterday. He's like, hey, I wrote that song with Michael Jackson, and Michael Jackson stole it from me.
Wow.
So, of course, he goes right to TMZ, which is what all right-thinking Canadians should do.
Sure.
And in the fastest settlement in music business history, at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, the Michael Jackson estate came out and said, oh, yeah, Paul Anka co-wrote this song with Michael Jackson. Yeah, he's going to get 50% of the royalties.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That was quick.
He stole the song,
right?
So it's not just that they co-wrote it. It wasn't going to be on Michael's album. It was going to be on the other dude's album?
It was going to be on Paul Anka's album, right, exactly. And apparently it was just a demo the way Michael left it. And it has, since he died, has they've gone back in the studio and added a bunch of stuff. Which, by the way, doesn't explain why it's so horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, the production on it sounds so outdated anyway. And Michael's brothers, some of his brothers went in and sang backup vocals on it, to which I say, hey, if Michael Jackson had wanted you to sing on his song,
he
would have invited you.
Yeah.
Hey, so we could sing maybe backup or something.
I just picture they're going to turn Michael Jackson into Elvis, and they're going to find some way to have a hologram out there that's performing just so the other Jackson brothers can go out and perform again.
Why would anyone be fighting over that song?
Yes. The only thing I can think is they probably will sell a bunch of copies of that album when in the movie and everything like that when that comes out just from, you know, Michael Jackson fans.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be worth money.
He's entitled to half of the money of that song. But that was just crazy how all that came out yesterday and that he didn't even know about it until it was released.
So the story yesterday was that Amy Winehouse got a new rack.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That she decided what she needs is a boob job.
Yeah.
Boobies!
So she got the boob job. Today the information is coming out that she has a new guy as well.
Yeah.
Sources tell the British tabloid Daily Star that she's been seeing a mystery man for a little over a month.
A month?
And here's my question. Somebody right now is going out with Amy Winehouse?
Yeah, that's not a good choice.
She's a human ashtray. You look at her and you go, no, no, no.
I mean, Kevin, really, everybody.
Who? What? I'm like, who?
But that's you coming up with lyrics from a song. Very impressive.
We don't know those lyrics.
I didn't know it. Oh, he's talking about Amy Winehouse.
Rehab. You went, no, no, no. Tell me that wasn't a rehab reference. Come on.
It sure was.
No, it actually wasn't at all. But how do you, today.
You're on so many drugs that you don't know what you're doing?
What is happening that she can still get a dude?
He's got to be like a total drug addict, right?
Maybe that's
how
it. Maybe
do you hang out with Amy?
I'm telling you, it's more to do with money.
Does she have money?
If she doesn't have, she still has massive earning capacity.
Yeah.
And especially in Britain, I think she has more money than we think she does because she sold a lot more records overseas.
So let's say that a guy is over there and he wants to, you know, get with a rich chick. Doesn't he go, Amy? Nope. No, who's next? Who else we got? There's got to be somebody else that makes money.
Maybe that's what the boobs are about. He's trying to decorate her a little bit.
Could be. Could
make
be.
It a little more palatable.
Yep.
At least am I speaking of decorating that woman.
All right, team. Thank you.
While we're talking about how does anyone go out with that person, this is the new celebrity couple, although she will not admit that they are dating. Emmy Rossum, you know, the very beautiful actress. She was in Phantom of the Opera. She was in The Day After. Day After Tomorrow, I guess it was called. Beautiful, beautiful young woman. Well, she is apparently hooked up with, or at least she's been seen a bunch with, Adam Duritz from The Counting Crows. Now, we have long talked about this dude.
Yes.
He dated Christina Applegate. He dated Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox. I mean, the list goes on and on of the beautiful women that this. And he's the guy who's got the sideshow bob hair, and he's in freaking Counting Crows. And we've always said, who's dating this dude, right?
Yep.
Well, Emmy Rossum was doing an interview, and she said, look, I'm not going to say whether I'm dating him or not, but I'm telling you that I completely understand why people date him. He is kind, intelligent, thoughtful, creative, respectful. She just goes on and on and on, just raving about what a good dude he is.
Wow.
But so she maybe, won't say whether she's dating him or not.
No. But she's still too embarrassed to admit that she's going out with him. But it is funny when you see guys like that, that you can't figure it out. Because you look at, you know, the rest of us guys, we look at him and go, what's he doing?
Yeah.
How is that guy with Jennifer Aniston and Emmy Rossum, for God's sake? But,
well, if he's all that you described and he's packing, I get it.
Ah. Well, maybe that's what it is. She didn't mention that.
Icing on the cake.
It's the packing.
Yeah. Is there a hotline around Hollywood where you get the heads up on who's packing too? Is that
I believe there might be a little.
Jennifer Aniston's done with him, and she calls her friend Courtney Cox and goes, "Seriously, not for me, but you really ought to take a ride."
Of course, it's Halloween time.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of stories out about the most popular costumes this year. And apparently, you know, Michael Jackson, probably
sure.
number one.
Probably going to be big, yeah.
Super Mario Brothers is huge. David Letterman,
why?
Of course.
Why this year?
Video games?
Video games, yeah.
I'm imagining.
Letterman.
David Letterman
funny.
Is huge. John and Kate Gosselin is huge.
I got my Kate wig.
Lady Gaga.
Oh,
that's the scariest
yeah.
one. Plaxico Burress, of course. But
funny.
Here's the one that really shocked me, that I was really surprised about. There is a company in New York that already shipped out 15,000 Bernie Madoff masks. Now,
well, that's old white guys, all that is.
I know. I mean,
I recognize the name from the news.
But I wouldn't know his face.
He's the dude that stole all the money, all right? the charity money and everything else. I wouldn't recognize his face either. It seems mm-hmm. like an odd choice. Who are you? Bernie Madoff. Who's that? remember that guy? If you have to start explaining your costume, it's not a good costume.
Interesting.
That seems odd, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That list does come from New Yorker magazine, and their readers certainly know who Bernie Madoff is.
I guess.
Is the only thing I can think. But yeah, he looks like a, you know, looks like an old white dude is what he looks like. Huh. All right, we just have time for one more, and I'm only doing this story because of the names of the people involved. This is a story that is related to Oprah Winfrey. Us Weekly is reporting that Kareem Girls, she worked as a flight attendant on Oprah Winfrey's private plane, okay?
Okay.
She was ratted out by a couple of coworkers on the plane who claimed that she had joined the Mile High Club with a pilot while they were flying the plane.
All right.
How about that?
Wait, while they were flying?
Yes,
while, the pilot
while they were
was
flying,
flying
the plane. Well, while he was in the air, not I don't know that they were in the cockpit. They may have gone elsewhere.
You may
but
have put it on automatic pilot?
Exactly. Put something on automatic pilot.
Or had the assist, you know, whatever, the other pilot fly or
the
something.
The co-pilot?
So she's suing, by the way. She's suing because she says it didn't happen and the other coworkers just didn't like her and they made up the story so that Oprah would fire her. But the other women involved in the suit who worked on this plane were Myron Gooch and Kirby Bumpus. Those are the two people involved. Myron Gooch and Kirby Bumpus apparently ratted her out. And she says she's not having it. So,
wow, what's wrong with Oprah?
I don't know. Kirby, by the way, Kirby Bumpus is the daughter of Oprah's BFF, Gail King, also.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so I don't know. You think that with the money Gail King has, her daughter wouldn't have to work as a flight attendant on Oprah's plane. But
look, Oprah makes everyone work.
She does.
Today's celebrity birthdays, we got a couple of former Dancing with the Stars contestants celebrating today. NFL great Jerry Rice turns 47. Marie Osmond is 50. Sammy Hagar, ladies and gentlemen, 62 years old today.
How about that? Mm.
Sammy Hagar! Woo! Nancy Kerrigan is 40 today. Ashanti is 29. Chris Carter, the creator of The X-Files, turns 52 years old today. But really the reason we celebrate the great Sacha Baron Cohen is 38 years old today, and that is the Showbiz Beat. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Our friend Adam Sessler, the host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4, joins us later on today to talk about Brutal Legend and a bunch of the other games that are coming out. Also, actress Jessica Stroop.
Oh,
The once in future Mrs. Dwan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California is going to be joining us in the final hour of the show today from Beverly Hills 90210.
So there's a city in China called Kunming.
Hey.
And everybody that lives in this city, there are 120 of them, are little people.
Okay.
It's a little people city. They have to be under 4'3" tall.
They are little.
Tiny, tiny little people. And what happened is people used to realize that the city is full of little people, and they would drive over to see it, and rightfully so.
Well, of course, because you guys have tried to find a place like that here numerous times.
Midgetville, yes.
Yeah.
But these people decided to finally do something about it. So what they did was they turned their little city into an attraction. They built mushroom houses. They started living and dressing like fairy tale characters.
Really?
They charge money. And now, you know, when people come through, they still point and laugh. But now
they got to pay to do it?
Yeah, the little people are getting something out of it.
Good for them.
I mean, this is just like circus days. If you happen to be a bearded lady, you're going to be a bearded lady whether you're on the sideshow getting paid for it or not. So you might as well get paid for it.
Right, exactly. So we had our producer, Alex, track down the city so that we could call China.
Okay.
And I think we need to do that.
Is this the dwarf theme park in Kunming, China?
Hey, Round Eye, how you go?
Well, we go fine. How are you, little one?
I am very happy. We make lots of money here at Dwarf Theme Park.
We were just talking about the article here in the United States, and I guess there are some people who think it's demeaning to you, but you look at it as, hey, how else am I going to get a job? There's not a lot of exactly out there for me, right?
That's right. People and they say, hey, Fu King, how do you feel about what
wait,
you do?
Wait, what's your name?
Fu King.
Fu King.
Yes. They say, hey, Fu King Dwarf, how do you feel?
Do you just go by Fu, I hope?
No, they usually say my whole name.
Okay.
Hey, you Fu King Dwarf, how do you feel about what happens when people come to your theme park? And I say, it's fine because we are exploiting ourselves. It is our choice to make money.
I see. Okay.
But don't you feel a little bit, Mr. King, don't you feel like animals in the zoo when people drive through and they just stare at you while you're going about your business?
No, because we offer lots of entertainment. We're not just on display. Oh. We sing, we dance, we do little shows, we dress up in costume. Everyone have good time.
So it's really more like a performance piece. It's a circus, basically.
Yeah, it's a theme park where people can come and have good time.
And what kind of entertainment do you provide?
Well, for the ladies, there's a special ride called the Tunnel of Pleasure.
Tunnel of Pleasure?
Yes, it involves me and a mining hat with a light on it.
Oh, wow. I don't
go any further.
You lead them through the tunnel?
But I tell you, the ladies love Fu King.
What else do you guys do there in the little town of Kunming?
We have little mushroom houses.
Right.
That we live in. And sometimes I take a little bite and I see music.
You take a bite of what?
Of the mushrooms.
Oh, of the mushroom houses. Oh,
pay
I see.
Attention, mother.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Foo.
And if you eat the right mushrooms, mm-hmm. you can see your hand make waves in front of your face.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I see.
And I feel like I'm 9 feet tall.
Oh, that must be nice.
But I'm not.
How tall are you exactly?
I am 1 foot.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I'm 1'1", actually.
That is not possible.
I'm a little taller than that.
1 foot.
I am 1'1". 1'1", 1'2".
Whatever it takes.
Depends on what kind of shoes I'm wearing that day.
Yeah,
I understand. I got you.
But people say, fucking dwarf, how do you feel about being in a freak show?
Right.
And I say, suck it, bitch.
Is that what you said? So Fu King says, suck it, bitch.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm going to take that away from today's show. Very nice to talk to you.
And you, Round Eye.
Time for the Internet Roundup. Go to Kevin and Bean and click on Internet Roundup. Sorry, KevinandBean.com. Internet
okay. Roundup. Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
We got a lot of stuff up here. We have hundreds of links, and if you haven't gone there in a while, we have the Esquire link where Kate Beckinsale is the sexiest woman alive.
Oh,
and
my God.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, my God.
They're doing a photo shoot.
I like this new trend that Esquire has, by the way. They've always had hot chicks in the magazine, but starting with, remember Megan Fox last year? They did that video of Megan Fox waking up and getting out of bed in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're doing videos with all their big photo shoots, and the Kate Beckinsale one is up now, and it's amazing.
It is amazing. you have to click on a different rendition of My Humps.
Oh, really?
You must watch that video.
Okay.
And you must stick with it all the way to the end.
Okay.
Couple Rob for fried chicken is up there. Put the fried chicken down and back away. Big Girl versus Mechanical Bull. That's all visual, so we haven't played clips of it.
Oh,
all
right.
She gets on a Mechanical Bull and just gets vaulted forward in 1 second. It's one of the, you'll have to watch it 10 times. Worst Beatle cover ever, Saturday Night Live skit. There's a bunch of stuff up there, but we have some new ones.
Okay.
I'm told this is cute and good. I am not a fan of cats. I do not like cats.
All right.
So to take a bunch of cats and put them through the auto-tune. All right.
Seems pointless to you.
If it's your kind of thing, cool. To me, it's super annoying, but here's a little of what that sounds like. Yeah, all right. F you.
Look, I love cats, and that's pointless.
That's annoying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
All right. This is something called The Golden Age of Video by Ricardo Autobahn. And
that's good. That's his real name, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And what you're going to hear is a bunch of movies and TV shows that are all mixed over a bed, a dance bed, but the video goes with it. It's really...
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It is really amazing to watch. It must have taken forever for this guy to put this together, but check this out.
We came, we saw, we kicked his ass.
I was testing you, and you passed.
Required to park on a regular basis.
I'm gonna make them all forget.
the video goes along with it. So everybody, every clip that you hear, you see the video of it.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It must have taken hundreds of hours because, you know, he took a line from The Sopranos and then a line from The Simpsons and then a line from The Wizard of Oz and a line from RoboCop and just edited them all together to make sense. I mean, it's incredible.
It really is amazing to watch. Bud Light's the best because they have commercials that are not annoying.
That's true.
And when you play as many commercials as we do on a regular basis, it's so nice that this is the same company that has the Here's to You, Mr. Foam
Which
Finger
are all
Fan.
Awesome.
Those are all great.
Yeah.
Now they have Bud Light comes in a can, so now they have an ad where they're talking about people getting it in the can. Getting Bud Light.
Of course, yes.
So here's a little of that.
I got it in the can for the first time last night. I loved it.
I gave it to my boss in the can.
Right after this game, I'm getting it in the can.
I've only had it in the can once, but I'm definitely getting it in the can again.
I've been giving it to everyone in the can all week.
Who told you I like it in the can?
I didn't expect to get it in the can at the company party, but one thing led to another, and sure enough, there I was, getting it in the can.
The best one ever.
When I first have
a sense of humor.
Yes,
unbelievable.
Yes.
And by the way, I don't know that America does. When I first heard about this commercial some time ago, I heard that it was not going to air in the United States. It was airing in Canada, but not in the U.S. because it was too racy for our delicate ears.
Oh.
But the beauty of the internet is you can see it anyway.
Yeah. And finally, Ron Artest Ghetto Cribs. Now, Ron Artest is a new Laker, and he crazy.
Yeah.
He definitely crazy.
And this is one of the most painstakingly awful but fantastic videos I've ever seen. It's so bad it comes around. He does his own cribs on his own house with his own iPhone, I believe, or some really cheap bad video camera.
Okay.
And he gives you a tour around his house, but it's really bizarre because he doesn't know what half of it is and he hasn't moved in yet and there's just junk everywhere and it's about 11 minutes long.
Where did he put it up?
On YouTube.
On YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube. So this is a little bit of Ron Artest Ghetto Cribs. He talks about, I'm just going to tell you the stuff ahead of time because he mumbles a little bit. He does talk about signing his own jersey and then he frames it and puts it on the wall.
Oh, that's great.
So it's autographed by himself. He also sets off his own alarm. And then near the end, he starts going, yeah, I don't know what this is. Yeah, you're just going to have to make up something for that. I mean, it's just the most worthless but fantastic video I've ever seen. It's Ghetto Cribs, Ron Artest Ghetto Cribs.
Look, I signed my own jersey. I put it in my house. I signed my own jersey. That's my man Scola, the Argentina joint. Shout out to Argentina.
Okay, so that's a jersey from a guy in Argentina, and then he shouts out to Argentina.
My lawn. Damn, that's called a dummy. This is whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
I'll let y'all come up with a name.
Don't
this
want
right
to.
Here.
What's that?
Is, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is.
Okay.
A lot of space.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
what's this? A
whole bunch of, things.
It's not well thought out, this tour. He basically just walks around his house with a camera and has very little to say about the stuff in his house. He's got a huge house.
He does.
But if you're picturing, you know, a classy joint, he is not living like a baller. I mean, the dude needs some housekeeping, and
yeah.
He needs an interior decorator.
He needs to unpack first.
Yes, yeah. He does look like a guy who just moved into his college dorm, basically,
oh,
is what it looks
God.
Like. He's just got stuff everywhere.
That's funny.
I don't really need this is whatever you want to call it. What's the point of that? And it goes on forever.
11 minutes.
Yeah,
that's
you find
endless.
At about 3 minutes, you find yourself going, wow, this is brutal. And then at 5-6 minutes, that's when you start really enjoying how bad it is. So that's.
But isn't it? It's nice to have some crazy on our team once in a while, though, right?
Absolutely.
This is going to be a little bit of a radio whiplash, but we'll go right from 30 Seconds to Mars to Kiss. They have a new album out, Kevin. It's called The Sonic Boom, first new record in a while, projected to debut at number one on the Billboard album charts this week. Now, this is a band that's been together and making records since about 1973, still together and
wow.
Still rocking. It's pretty unbelievable. And every once in a while, we like to catch up and find out what's new in the world of Kiss with our friend Gene Simmons, one of the lead singers and bass player for the band. Gene joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Gene, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. How are you? Good morning.
It sounds like you're in a gymnasium today.
Yeah,
and that's
does.
Not the Gene Simmons we know and love.
You're exactly right. We're very excited to release Sonic Boom, and obviously there's going to be a tour on the heels of that to prepare for the tour. I have to be in perfect physical condition.
You're working out?
I always do.
I have to maintain.
We're doing close to 220 dates over the next 20 years. Over the next 2 years. I misspoke there.
You might have been right the first time, though. You guys never get off the road.
Well, that's part of the deal. We understand that our fans love to see us live, and so we're going to tour, we're going to play, and we're going to play every night. And of those bands out there that tell you that you just can't do it, they're lying. They're not capable of doing it because they're not in good shape. They don't take care of their body. They're out drinking and partying every night, whereas Kiss takes care of themselves, and we give back to the fans the way they know they need to be treated. And that's why I'm here in the gym working on my snatch right now. Speaking of working on the snatch.
What? that's a bodybuilding term, right?
That's what that is.
It's an Olympic lift, actually.
Okay.
I'm working on my snatch.
All right,
you're Sonic Boom. You have worked out an exclusive deal with Walmart. You're for sale in Walmart stores all over the country. Is this
correct.
The new direction that that a lot of acts are going, is to cut
bands,
a deal ahead of time?
Yeah, a couple of bands have done exclusive deals with Target in the past. There's been country artists who have done exclusive deals with Sam Club and Walmart before. We're doing that. We've worked out a deal with Walmart and Sam's Club where for the next couple of weeks, in relationship with the release of Sonic Boom, there will be a Kiss takeover, essentially. There will be Kiss corners. All four corners of different Walmarts will have different members of Kiss with a kiosk there with all the different merchandise and the album itself. Plus, we're doing a very special package for the CD. It'll come in well-decorated aluminum foil and have a very comprehensive booklet inside, not just in your normal. Like I said, it's going to be a very, very detailed and impressive package. Lisa May, speaking of an impressive package, I'm looking at one right now in my dark strip.
That's barely try it. Look, every time we have you on, G, we're amazed at how many different marketing deals you've figured out a way to work out. Aren't there literally thousands of KISS items for sale?
Literally thousands. If you go to KISS, www.kissarmy.com, you can buy practically anything KISS. You know what? Just the other day, they took a poll, an international poll, of the most popular brand names in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there was the Coca-Cola, the McDonald's, but KISS was there in the top five.
That's
a product of all the hard work we've done to market ourselves.
Wow.
And we never have shied away from the fact that we are marketing whores and we like to get the name KISS out there. But it's interesting, when I talked about taking that poll, Lisa May, speaking of taking a poll,
God.
I was hoping you could take
right.
one.
Yeah. Right.
This is only one exclusive deal that we're doing. Coca-Cola also has an exclusive deal. I mentioned them. Because they, for the next couple of weeks, to correspond with the release of the album, are going to be having four different cans, special cans.
Okay.
Really?
One with the faces of KISS members on them.
Oh.
So we're very excited about that. That's obviously a huge company to be working with.
No, sure. Mate,
speaking of special cans, you've got a very special can I'd like to decorate.
Come on, Gene. Everything cannot be
nationwide.
On me.
Nationwide, frozen yogurt sensation Pinkberry is also going to be doing an exclusive deal to correspond with our album.
Okay.
You can go in and order the KISS special. It'll be a small Pinkberry with green tea powder, the goji chips, and raspberry. And they design it in a way that looks like actual KISS masks. It's very, very, very.
What?
I'm simply talking about the product. Robbins Brothers, very popular engagement store.
Oh, yes.
Engagement ring
That's
store.
True.
Yeah, I believe they're a sponsor that at your station.
They are, yes.
Mm-hmm. They're considered to be the number one engagement store in the country. Engagement ring store.
Okay.
And that's why KISS is working with them. If you go in and you get engaged to your honey during the month of November, and you get the KISS special. It's a diamond ring, 2.5 carats.
Wow.
And it's black diamonds with white encrusting pave diamonds in the middle that look like the KISS logo.
Okay.
They will actually knock off $4,000 if you do that in the month of November to correspond with the release of Sonic Boom. Lisa May, speaking of rings.
Yes?
Wow.
You've got
you
a brown
went all
one.
That way. Oh.
You are not.
All that way just to get to speaking of rings? I think you're slipping.
If you're considering LASIK surgery.
Yes.
Laser Eye Center is doing a KISS special during the month of November, also to correspond with the album.
Yes.
And who doesn't, if you're struggling with your vision, you really need to go in and get that LASIK taken care of, because, you know, everybody needs to do some focusing. focusing on their eyes. Lisa May, speaking of eyes, I got a brown eye I'd like to focus
on.
Oh,
you're
not.
You
I was
sound
disappointed
bored.
In that one. I was disappointed in that
you
one.
You can't be happy about that.
About to sleep. I hear you guys. I'm a fan of the show. I know you guys are talking about what goes on in mattresses.
Yes.
That if you have them long enough, they're filled up with goo.
That's what they say, yeah. And we don't need you to finish that one.
All right.
That's okay, Gene. We're good.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Process servers back in the news. We'll tell you the story coming up and what celebrity it involves in just a few minutes. And we're going to be looking for you if that is or has been your job. I'm fascinated with the people who process serve for a living. Seems like it would be like being a spy, like being a secret agent with all some of the stuff that you got to get into to get that paperwork handed to the right person.
Yeah, they do have to put on masks and you know, dress up and fool people to get into where they need to be. But that always involves bad news, so that doesn't seem good.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Well, anyway, we'll tell you about that in about 15 minutes or so here on The Kevin Bean Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. You know, I was reading this morning about a new phone app that can start your car for you out in the driveway, if you, especially if you live in some place where it's cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
There's a phone app now that will start your car. Turn it on, you know, warm up the engine, get the heat going inside.
Yeah. Would that work?
How awesome is that?
I don't know how that would work.
It's basically there's an app for everything. It's turning into a joke, but here's one you might actually be interested in. Metallica has released their own phone app now. According to the band's official website, you can now access downloads for more than 269 live Metallica concerts right there on your iPhone. You can buy some of the tracks are free. Some of them are just 99 cents. You can listen to them on your phone there, and you just set up a live Metallica account. And get yourself the Metallica iPhone app. So why not, right?
Sure.
How about that?
Yeah, it's cool.
That's a good idea. I'm glad.
If you love Metallica, why not have access to thousands and thousands of hours of Metallica on your phone at a fingertip? And here's another music note, by the way, in case you were wondering what they were going to do with the Encore Wind Theater when entertainer Danny Gans died in Las Vegas. He was a huge draw, big sellout entertainer out there in Las Vegas. He died over the summer. Well, how about this for a major announcement? Steve Wynn is going to be standing on Thursday of this week with Garth Brooks as they announce that he is going to be the resident entertainer at the Encore Wind.
No kidding. Didn't he retire?
He retired until his kids got old enough, and now he's decided that they are.
Wow.
They're old enough that you don't have to spend, you know, I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, worth $1 billion and has basically been staying home in Oklahoma, taking his kids to school and back every day. And he's coming out of retirement and is going to open up a residency at the Encore Wind Theater. That just sounds, I mean, not that he needs the money, but can you imagine how much Garth Brooks will bring in Las Vegas?
Yeah. If I were to go to Las Vegas and then pay for the ticket and then go inside, would he be singing country music?
I got to tell you, I have seen him twice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my ex-husband used to country music. And he's a great performer.
Right. He's a phenomenal
entertainer. But my question is, does he perform country music?
He does, actually.
Well,
just checking.
Yeah. So not for you so much, but there are an awful lot of people who will be very excited to see Garth Brooks again.
Tuesdays are the day that the new DVDs come out, as well as new CDs.
Ooh, tell me, what's good?
The DVDs that are out are on a piece of paper. Oh, here it is. Drag Me to Hell is on Blu-ray.
Okay.
The Proposal is on Blu-ray. Futurama, the complete collection. Jackass, the Lost Tapes is out. How the Grinch Stole Christmas is out. Juno is out.
Juno?
And,
I think that's out on Blu-ray starting today. I know, of course, it's been out on DVD, yeah.
And just one other mention of things that are coming out today. Brutal Legend is the video game. Jack Black is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight.
Oh, very cool.
If you want to check that out.
Okay.
He's a voice in Brutal Legend? Is that the title?
Yeah, he's the main character. Yeah.
Couple of CDs worth mentioning today, available in stores and for download. The new one from one of my favorite bands, The Flaming Lips, is out today called Embryonic. New Five for Fighting is out today. Chester Bennington's Linkin Park spinoff band called Dead by Sunrise that we've been playing here, that's out today. But really, Kevin's girlfriend Shakira She-Wolf is coming out today, which means more Shakira videos soon, so that's good news. But really, the reason we're excited is today is the long-awaited release of the new Bob Dylan Christmas album.
Oh, man,
is that a bad idea.
Now, you've been mocking Dylan for years, Kevin, as if he can't sing. I mean, that's been your whole thing,
right? He couldn't sing in the 60s, let alone now. You can't understand a word that guy says.
He sure does good for a guy who can't sing.
It's like Muhammad Ali boxing, you know? He had his day, all right, but let's not watch him box anymore. It's just sad.
That hurts.
I've heard you say, look, I give him credit for being a great songwriter. He certainly has contributed, but please don't let him sing. And I'm gonna play a clip from the Bob Dylan Christmas album. I want you to reconsider your thought about what a beautiful voice Mr. Dylan has. Listen up.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Right down Santa Claus Lane.
He doesn't care if you're rich or poor.
For he loves you just the same.
Santa knows that we're God's children.
That makes everything right.
Fill your hearts with
to the Christmas cheer. The Santa Claus comes to
me. What do you think?
Wow. You're kidding, right?
Is that a joke?
That's not really
him. That's actually, that's the bum.
That's him?
Are you kidding?
First of all, he's barely on it with all the background singers, which is good.
Which is what you would recommend if you were producing it.
But he sounds like a creepy old scary dude.
Oh.
Here comes Santa Claus.
He does sound like the bad guy in a Pixar movie. You're right about that.
What the hell was that? One of the worst I've ever heard. I hate you so much, I want to shoot you in your face.
Honey, I like you, but you're just not right for this competition.
Yo, dog, I gotta tell you, for me, man, that was not even half good, dude.
So they like it or they don't like it?
They do not like it.
Christmas in the Heart is the new Dylan Christmas album available today. He's given away all the money to anti-hunger charities, by the way, in case you're wondering.
He should. No one should buy that. They're not going to go buy that because he's a good singer.
We got another clip for you next hour from the Bob Dylan. How about that?
My God, is that painful.
Today's celebrity birthdays include Olympian, you remember the famous skater Nancy Kerrigan. Knee probably still hurts. She is 40 today. Sammy Hagar, formerly of Van Halen, is 62 today. Oh, is Psycho Mike not there? He's here. Joey Belladonna from Anthrax celebrating a birthday today. He is 49. Singer Ashanti is 29. Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files and Millennium and a bunch of other great shows and movies, is 52 years old today. Jerry Rice, NFL great, turns 47 today. But the reason we celebrate, 38 today, actor, comedian, Sacha Baron Cohen.
This is where the hip-hop is slamming and jamming.
Well said. That is the show, Biz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
This would be cute on you. That's like really soft. You always have soft clothes on.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
Oh, my God. That's what I'm missing?
You expect me to believe that that was on TV?
Yeah, that's a show that people watch. That's what goes on there, and I'm one of them. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. How about our friend Adnan Galib? How are you, Adnan? How you feel this morning after the incident in court yesterday?
No, I do good, bro. How you doing, bro? You do good, huh?
I don't remember what Adnan Galib did. He was some sort of faux manager for Britney Spears a couple of years ago, and then they had a brief romantic relationship. And a lot of people point to Mr. Galib as being the downfall of Britney Spears, a contributor to when she went crazy. So Britney Spears' dad, Jamie, basically put out a restraining order and said, look, I don't want you around my daughter anymore. You're a bad influence on her. So in the process, no pun intended, of serving him the paperwork for the restraining order, Adnan decided that he was going to run over the process server. Now, I guess that has to go along with the job. Is nobody's excited to see you if you're the process server, right?
I would guess not. No, because they have the paperwork that they have to serve you when you get sued.
Right, and you would prefer to never receive that paperwork. So anyway, Adnan Galib was in court this week, and he pled no contest to a felony hit and run for running over the process server. And I guess they gave him some community service and a little bit of jail time and anger management and probation and whatnot. But the point is, somebody's job is to hand you paperwork when you don't want it. And the reaction always has to be this.
Y'all just mad, because today, you suckers got served.
It's true.
Sir!
I will tell you that if somebody here on our show got served, if a process server figured out a way into the building and served one of you in the morning, I guarantee we would all start chanting.
Of course.
You got served. Served.
Here's what's weird, though, is it's a weird part of the law. It's the only thing that I know of that's like this, where if you can avoid them, it's all good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
Like, it's really bizarre. Everything else, it doesn't matter if you can avoid them or not. They'll mail you a ticket in the mail. They don't care.
But, yeah, that's an interesting point, because if somebody wanted to sue me, they would just file a lawsuit and send me paperwork. Right? Why do some things have to be handed to you in person by a process server? I don't understand what the distinction is between one kind of paperwork and the other.
Well, maybe if we have people that are listening that do this work, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067, because you do have to fool people. You have to sometimes wear a disguise. You have to figure out a cover story so that you can get into where they work or, you know, someplace they're working out or whatever, wherever you can find them, and then you can serve them the papers.
And the thing is, I'm guessing sometimes people know that someone's trying to serve them, which makes it way harder.
So they've got their guard up, and they're making sure that they don't let anyone through. And it is really kind of a cat and mouse spy kind of a thing. But it's bizarre that they have to wait until it's you got served before you can actually, you know, go to court or whatever.
Yeah.
I was watching House, not last night, but the week before, and James Earl Jones was a guest star, and he was playing this dictator of this African country. And somebody was trying to serve him paperwork. And he almost never left a protected area with the UN, like his consulate and the area around it, right? So he went out in his car one day, and I guess they were waiting for him because all these cars came from every direction and boxed him into an intersection. And then when he and his driver got out to find out what was going on because they were afraid it was an assassination attempt, the guy ran up and gave him paperwork. I mean, that's how they served him. They boxed him in on a city street in New York. And those must be the kinds of lengths that you sometimes have to go to when you're looking for somebody who's clearly going out of their way to avoid the paperwork.
You remember Pineapple Express, the movie?
Mm-hmm.
He was a process server.
I forgot about that.
Remember Seth Rogen?
I'm a process server, so I have to wear a suit.
Wow. You're a servant? Like, butler? Chauffeur?
No. What? No, I'm not like... No, I'm
shine
a,
shoes.
I'm a process server. I like
in process.
I work for a company that's like hired by lawyers to like hand out legal documents, like subpoenas to people who don't want them. So I gotta wear like disguises sometimes just to make them admit that they're themselves, so I can serve them the papers.
Disguise.
Kind of, I guess. It's a hell of a job.
That's cool, man.
You fail to show up for your divorce proceedings like 4 times under court order, and you've been served.
Oh, great. Hey, thanks a lot, asshole.
Get a real job, you sucker.
All right, we want to take some calls from you if you are or have been a process server. 1-800-520-1067. We're dying to know if it's exciting as work as it seems like. And let's try Sydney real quick on line one. She apparently is a process server.
No, all right. Hey, Sydney.
Hi. Well, I was a process server. I did it when I was 19 years old.
Right.
But I'm 38 now or 37 now. So it was a long time ago. Most people didn't expect someone female or as young as I was.
Ah, so you already had a leg up.
You got it. I didn't have to wear a whole lot of disguises, but I had some crazy stuff happen. I've been chased. I've had dogs set on me.
Oh, my gosh.
I had this gigantic Samoan guy break down and cry after he was screaming at me about some divorce papers I served to him.
Wow, this has to be that has to be such an emotional time because those people do at that moment hate you.
Yeah,
exactly. I've even had a gun pulled out, but I mean it wasn't loaded, and he didn't actually point it at me, but he had it out and he was like waving around trying to scare me.
That would scare me.
It was a trip.
Hey, Sydney, help us out with understanding why some sorts of legal paperwork can just be filed with the court and others have to be handed to you personally. What's the difference?
Well, it depends upon the legalities involved with the case. Like, a lot of the papers that I ended up serving were, like, small claims stuff, some domestic things. You have to be served in person because...
So they could prove you got it?
Right, so that they can prove that you got it. There are some times where they have to publicize that there's a case against you. So, like, they'll take an ad out in the paper, and it's, like, about 3 or 4 little lines that says, you know, the parties such and such versus so-and-so.
Right. I've seen those. I've seen that public notice ad in the USA Today.
Exactly.
And whatnot. So did you get out of it because of the danger of it?
I got out of it partly because of the danger. I mean, I worked for my dad, so he was like, okay, enough with that. No more of that for you. Mm-hmm. I can't have my kid doing that. So I didn't do domestic papers anymore, but it really wasn't any less dangerous doing small claims.
Really? The little like stuff, that. People got just as angry as the big stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Car accidents, and so people were trying to get served because beyond, you know, if it was a DUI situation, not only get the criminal case against you, you get a civil case if the person involved wants to. And so that it was a hot mess.
Hey, Sydney, do they get paid fairly well? Is that how they get people to do it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm so going to do this. I totally am going to be a process server.
Nobody would be worse than Dean as a process
Dean
server.
Can you see Dean coming at you with paperwork?
Wait, why are you running away from me? All right, Sydney, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back with your calls. If you are or were a process server, we are fascinated with this, and I think I may need some tips on how I can be one, too. Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I think I'm going to be a process server.
You would be terrible at this.
And then I'm going to be a cowboy, and then I'm going to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
We're talking about a story in the news that involved a process server. I just think it's a fascinating job, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. These are the people whose job it is to get to people, hand them paperwork that they don't want. In fact, we've got Jesse on the line right now on line one. He's in the process, no pun intended, of trying to serve somebody right now while he's on the phone waiting for us.
What? Hey, Jesse.
Hello. Hey, what's up, party people?
So you're a process server right this second.
Oh, yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, I just got done. It wasn't there, so I'll have to try them again.
Okay, so first of all, without giving any details away about the identity, but what kind of paperwork are you serving today?
Family law stuff, so it's like probably divorce stuff. Okay. Or child support or any of that good stuff.
What kind of info do they give you to track down your person? Is there a dossier like on the TV where they give you, you know, here's where the guy works and here's what his car looks like? I mean, do they give you all that stuff so that you can go out and then find him?
You know, sometimes they go into just a lot of detail, and that's always great when they include a picture. But, wow, sometimes they get really vague and you got nothing. I mean, just a name, an address. And that's it.
Is there more than one person working the case? Like, is someone else trying to serve the same person you are with the same paperwork? Or,
well, the thing is, I work for a particular sheriff's department that rhymes with Smos Mangeles.
I can't make that out. I don't know what you're talking
ever.
About.
So there's like a couple of people that work a different area.
Right.
So if I can't get them, like one of my partners will try to get them.
Later. I got you.
How much time do you spend not getting them? Like how many times do you go out and not get the guy?
You know what? This is kind of like a kind of a business for the county. We make money. Mm-hmm. So I can't speak for anyone else, but I probably do about maybe 70%.
70% you do successfully?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Last question. Then we got to move on to some other calls. Have you ever had to be creative in order to get close to the person? Maybe pretend you were somebody that you're not or dress up in an outfit or anything like that?
Yeah. You know, I wear a uniform and I drive a marked car, so that's pretty much all I need.
Oh, okay.
What kind of uniform? Right.
Domino's?
No,
that would work.
It sounds like he's the kind of guy who people feel like they can't run from because there's legal ramifications if they avoid them. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Jesse. Good luck to you, my friend.
That's why our success rate's so good. Thank you.
That makes sense. Thanks a lot. See, I hadn't even thought about that. I figured everybody who does it is undercover and is trying to fool him. Sure. Let's talk to Nathan real quick on line two. He apparently is lucky to be alive based on who he had to process serve in the past. Hi, Nathan. Thanks for hanging out. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your story?
Hey, what's up, man? You know, I was I got a serve in L.A. You know, it said Death Row Records, so I've been thinking, you know, this is going to be pretty crazy. It was Suge, Mary, and Knight, you know, but I thought I would have to serve usually a process agent. It was a personal serve, so when I got there, you know, they let me into the back. I had to wait for like 2 hours before I could see them. Once they saw it was legit, they led me out to the back. There he was, you know, as big as life.
And what did you tell them? Did you have to make up a cover story, or did you just tell them what you were there for?
You know, our attorney service doesn't allow us to pretend we're anybody else. So I pretty much had to tell them, hey, look, I'm here to serve you on a civil case where people are trying to get a bunch of money from you. Sorry to bring you the bad news. You know, don't kill me. I'm just the man.
Wow, Suge Knight.
Right. So what would have happened had he not come out? Had you not been able to get to him, what would you have done?
You know, after 5 attempts, we're allowed to do what's called a sub-serve, and then we can serve anybody over the age of 18 as long as we get a full description of what they look like. But the funny thing is, when I went into his office, he was watching a Snoop video, so I thought that was kind of funny. So, you know, since him and Snoop have a rivalry.
Yeah, a bit.
Thanks for the call. For folks who don't recognize the name, Suge Knight was the guy behind Death Row Records, the big rap label, and ended up going to jail and losing everything. And, he's considered a very, very tough guy. I would be thinking twice before I served him.
He's a gigantor, too. He's a monster of a guy.
He's a big dude. All right, let's try Joe. He also has a celebrity interaction as a process server. He's on line five. Hey, Joe. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, guys. What's up? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Joe.
I actually went to go serve this celebrity, and I walked into his gated area, and when I went to go knock on the door, he actually answered himself. So I basically told him, you know, I'm here to serve you, here's your papers, And he just became livid, started dropping F-bombs left and right, and he just got about an inch away from my face like a drill sergeant.
Oh, no.
I just thought this guy was just going to swing at me, and so I just said, you know what? Your beef isn't with me. I basically am here as a messenger. And so I just dropped the papers there. But he decided to call the cops and lock the gates on me.
He locked you in?
Yeah, he locked me in his gated area, and I waited there for 2 hours for the cops to come.
Dude, I never knew Vern Troyer could be such a badass.
Who? Can you tell us who it was?
What? I'm sorry?
Can you tell us who it was?
I can't because the case is still going on, so I'm just not allowed to reveal that.
Is it Suge Knight?
Hint? Does it rhyme with something?
All I could say is that he was just a really big villain, and he's worked with Forrest Whitaker before. So that's really all I could say.
Okay. Big villain and worked
all
with
Forrest Whitaker. All right, IMDb people, go.
Help us out.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try one more because Will is on line four, and he's done the dressing up that we're talking about that sounds like the fun part of the job. Hey, Will, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Your process server?
Yeah, I used to be a couple of years ago.
All right, let me ask you this, Will, because I have one question before we get to your story. What happened with all the people that were like, I didn't touch it, I didn't touch it? Mm-hmm. It looks like it's third grade stuff again. I served you. I didn't touch it. It fell to the ground. I never looked at it.
Well, I used to serve a lot of deadbeat dads. Mm-hmm. So I think at some point they eventually had to pay their dues when they went to court, whether they said they got it or not.
But I think Kevin's question is, do they physically have to take it from your hand, or is it enough if you just drop it in front of them? And that way they have to at least know they've seen it.
I can just drop it in front of them.
And then they take your word for it? What if they deny it?
Well, I think the fact that I was a process server, you're bonded. You go through the whole little process.
I become
a process server that the court just has more belief on your part as opposed to the deadbeat dad.
Sure.
I got gotcha. You.
All right. Tell us about dressing up.
Well, I used to work for FedEx, and I had a FedEx uniform before I was a process server. So when I was serving process, I would just wear my FedEx shirt. And I'd show up as a FedEx delivery guy, and I would serve quite a bit of people with the uniform.
Wow.
That totally makes sense because even if somebody's anticipating being served, they know it's not going to come via FedEx, so they look at you and feel like you're safe.
Right, exactly. So as soon as they let me in and, you know, I handed them the paperwork, I would just tell them they were served, and I'd walk away.
Fantastic. Great story. Hey, thanks for the call, dude.
No problem.
Thank you.
Y'all just mad. Just today, you suckers got served.
Sir.
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 You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, if you enjoyed Bob Dylan's version of Here Comes Santa Claus last hour during the Showbiz Beat, you haven't heard anything yet.
Oh, that was terrible.
Wait till you hear I'll Be Home for Christmas, which we have a snippet for you in about 10 minutes or so from the new Dylan Christmas album out today. I'm not saying the guy used to sing better, but I'm saying you're not going to believe it's for real. So that's coming out. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. This is our 24-hour-a-day answer machine that we have set up just for you to call and basically prank call us.
We started, I shouldn't say started. We got the band back together for Rocktober.
Yes, indeed.
And the first time we did it, Bean was on vacation. And that's what this first call is about, both of those, actually.
Rocktober, Rocktober, Rocktober. Oh, and Bean, no one missed you.
Well, oh, I don't doubt that at all. I was a little hurt that Melfon took off in such a big way while I was gone.
Took off again, you mean?
Yeah, again, right? And then you guys were kind enough to let me and my slide whistle, and no, that's not a euphemism, in on the band last week. So I appreciate that. I'm very much looking forward to this Friday now.
Yeah, every Friday we get the band back together. Mm-hmm. So we got a call from a Marine about a phone topic we were doing. We were talking about the strangest or most famous place that you've had sex.
All right, so back when I was in the Corps, you guys were talking about the sex in famous places. Stationed in Europe for a few years, and me and the one girl ended up having sex in the Parthenon, right under Zeus's altar. You can't top that. I mean, right under a god's altar. That was the best.
Wow.
That's pretty sweet.
That's pretty strong. Hey, Bean, you have some of that Miley Cyrus rap after this afro?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here's the call about it.
I thought that this Miley Cyrus rapping thing, and I can't believe this thing is real. Wow, that is so retarded.
How can you say it's retarded? Listen to her mad DJ skills.
Yeah, the rumors are true. I deleted my Twitter.
Can you believe it? I got two million.
Maybe don't give up the Hannah Montana movies just yet.
Mm-hmm. By the way, did she try to rhyme Twitter and million right there?
I think she did. I'm afraid so.
That happened?
I don't know if you guys are aware. There's a video and everything that goes along with that.
There is?
It's not like she just put up a camera and just started doing this horrible rap into it. She has backup dancers, and she's got like the bling and the hat on sideways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And still it sounds like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sounds terrible.
Well, how would Miley Cyrus have access to good recording and video equipment?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We've been talking about giving away a trip to Australia.
Crikey.
To see the big day out. And apparently, another DJ on this radio station named Kat was offering herself up as the plus one.
Dude, Kat Corbett just said she would put out guaranteed if anybody added her as our plus one to the Australia giveaway trip. Yeah. I need some tickets. Big time.
That's worth going for. By the way, I know I fail, but I had Kat Corbett at my house this summer. She came to visit Seattle, and she came over to the house. And I had a plan all worked out, but I couldn't get her to drink it. I mean, it was so disappointing. She just, oh, no, Bean, I'm not thirsty. I'm like, seriously, you've got to be parched. Just have a sip. Couldn't get her to drink any of it, so therefore the whole rest of my plan fell apart.
Wow. That's rough. Wow.
Ralph just died on the Cleveland show. Someone shot him in the head. He's dead.
Ralph does some voices for the Cleveland show and for Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it was Ralph that died. I think it was the character, perhaps, that died.
Well, I don't know. He's not here.
That's true.
That's all I know.
That's a good point, Lisa.
The people love fireflies. That is one thing that I know.
We deserve well that.
He speaks for a lot of people.
Our listeners come up with some fantastic ideas, and I have never thought of this, but I am on board with this listener.
You know what I was just thinking would be awesome? A midget pope. How funny would that be? How cool would that be? But, yeah, that's never going to happen, you know, because midgets don't have souls, not like people.
That is true, actually.
Man.
That's
come
in the Bible.
Come on, a midget pope.
It's in the Bible.
His hat would be as tall as he is. That would be great.
Yeah. I had a suggestion to make Kevin and Bean funny again. Let's bring back the midget song. I want midget song. Midget.
Midget. Is a midget.
Instant request.
Is a midget.
The little man knows all.
Life's got me mad, but if I had a midget, I'd be glad to watch him jump around on my Nintendo Power Pad. He'd have a big head, short legs, and long torso. The name that I give my pet midget is Little Gordo. I teach him tricks like backflips and sidekicks. When company came over, he'd perform and get tips. While I'm eating at night, in the kitchen, he'd be able to get the food scraps that I threw under the table. If my midget was ever bad and acted enraged, then I'd take him to the bathroom and put him in his cage. But if he kept acting up and really made me sick, I'd hang him upside down and poke him with a stick. Little Gordo would be good most of the time, though. He'd have a pogo ball that he'd bounce on for hours. A dirty little fathead Gordo wouldn't take showers. When Halloween came, he wouldn't be a chump, getting all the candy going around as a tree stump.
Midget. Is a midget. Midget.
Come on.
Is a midget.
Like a midget at a urinal, I was gonna have to stay on my toes.
Sometimes my friends would chase Gordo with a gun. It'd be fun, because midgets wobble when they run. They're so close to the ground, it's so easy to kick. They're so slow in the head, and so easy to trick.
Oh, how
Gordo
dare you.
Could do somersaults, his special thing. At the fair, I would make him enter mud wrestling. Sometimes he wears...
We heard enough yet, or you want me to keep going?
No,
I think,
good.
Where it is, you haven't heard that one in a long time, have you?
That's true.
No, we haven't. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. As you know, the Dodgers are playing the Phillies for the National League Championship Series. Russell Ma-Ann will be on the program.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, it is 7:58.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Adam Sessler from G4 is going to be in to talk about all the new video games. This is a huge day. A lot of video gamers have been waiting for because Brutal Legend is out today. And we'll explain and talk all about that with our friend Adam coming up in just a few minutes. In the meantime, a quick look at the Showbiz Beat. Kevin, I'm going to let you lead because you've got a late-breaking interview that's great.
This is fantastic. It's a news anchor out of Dallas that was talking to Oprah.
Okay.
And Oprah, of course, for those of you that don't know, devil. And she's the one who introduced us to another devil, who is Dr. Phil.
Yeah, he used to be on her show.
Not a doctor. So
Oprah's doing an interview on a newscast, and the news anchor, then generally news anchors aren't, you know, they don't surprise you with questions. They're not supposed to be hard-hitting interviews. He actually asked Oprah if she wanted to apologize for introducing the world to Dr. Phil. Here's the audio of that.
But would you like to take this opportunity to apologize to America for introducing us to Dr. Phil?
No, I do not.
I mean, seriously, I think I speak on all of us from Texas.
Aren't you proud of your boy from Texas?
No.
Look, I think Dr. Phil has probably done some good work.
Nope.
I think he has.
Nope.
But he is a pompous fool. There's no question about that.
That homespun wisdom, Kevin. Oh my God!
And he's not a doctor, right?
He is a doctor.
I don't think so.
He is a doctor.
I don't think so.
Of what?
I don't know of what.
He could be a PhD of anything.
And 9/11 was an inside job. I know that too.
I have heard that. Yeah. Two quick music notes worth mentioning. One is we debuted a snippet of the new Michael Jackson single yesterday that's just awful. It's called This Is It. We played some of it for you yesterday. We won't make you endure it today. But, I mean, there's a reason it didn't get put on any of the albums Michael Jackson has made from 1983 until his death this year because it's terrible. Well, it came out yesterday. And then immediately after that, a famous singer-songwriter named Paul Anka said, hey, wait a minute, I wrote that song with Michael Jackson, and he stole it and wouldn't give me the tapes back. And it turned out that all of that is true. The song had originally been recorded for Paul Anka's album in the 80s called Walk a Fine Line. Michael Jackson stole the tapes. Paul Anka said, hey, what up? And yesterday, the Michael Jackson estate, this was amazing how fast this worked. And I guess TMZ was the mediator. TMZ was, you know, is who Paul Anka called to say, hey, that's my song. TMZ went to Michael Jackson's people and said, hey, that's Paul Anka's song. And then they very hurriedly issued a statement that said, you know what, that actually is Paul Anka's song. He did co-write it with Michael Jackson, and he'll be getting 50% of the proceeds. So he can't be pleased that the song is as bad as it is, and now everybody knows that he had anything to do with it.
Why would you come out and say, hey, I wrote that?
Money.
But he is probably going to make a ton of money off it. So that's thing A. Thing B is, today is the day we have long been waiting for, ever since we heard that Bob Dylan, legendary singer-songwriter, was going to be recording a Christmas album. It is in stores today. It is a charity album for an anti-hunger charity. And it is called Christmas in the Heart. Last hour, I gave you a little bit of Here Comes Santa Claus, and you mocked it as being bad. You suggested, after hearing the clip last hour, Kevin, that Bob Dylan maybe does not sing well.
Well, I'm suggesting that I didn't like his voice when he was young, but I can understand other people who do, but it's terrible now. I mean, you can't understand a word he says.
Yeah. I want you to prepare to apologize when you hear now a little bit of the great Bob Dylan singing, I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Well, the love. I'll be home for Christmas.
See what I'm saying?
If only in my dreams.
He's still got it, Kevin. That's what I'm telling you.
That is the ramblings of a 105-year-old.
Give him the breathalyzer.
I agree, sir.
Oh, my God.
Well, you can buy that.
Who would buy that?
Can you imagine at Christmas you got the family and that's what you're playing?
Everybody would take their lives.
Maybe I'll be picking it up today. Access Hollywood TV host Billy Bush turns 38 today. Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files, is 52. Jerry Rice, former Dancing with the Stars contestant and NFL great, is 47 today. Olympian Nancy Kerrigan turns 40 today. Oh, here's one we missed earlier. The very beautiful Kelly Preston. This is John Travolta, who really is so hot, is 47 today. Singer Sammy Hagar is 62. But the reason we celebrate turning 38 today, famous, awesome comedian, actor, all-around entertainer, Sacha Baron Cohen today.
And if we had a clip from him, it would go
something
like this.
Funny. The Ministry of Information decided to make this film about America because we want to be like you. America have most beautiful women in world. For example, Liza Minnelli and Elizabeth Taylor. It also Center for Democracy and Porno. I like.
Indeed. Adam Sessler, host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4, joins us next right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. That looks to me like Adam Sessler, host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4. Hey, Adam.
Hey there. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
You can't tease us with what you were saying as the song ran out and then not finish the story. Can you talk about it on the air, or is that for private ears only?
You mean this strange adventure that happened in New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, all I know is I was waiting for the wedding to start. I was there for some very close friends' weddings. Wedding, not multiple. Standing outside, and this couple walked by, and they conferred, and what I believe was the female half of this couple
came up and mentioned
that they found me very hot.
Okay.
And they wanted to know if I had a wife. And this is true for most occasions when someone asks me, but I was very grateful to be able to say yes. Yes, I had a wife.
Right.
And they say, too bad, you're really hot. And then they just walked on. But it was not
they
like
were offering you a threesome, weren't they?
Something weird. I mean, but there was
but
no
morally,
apprehension.
They checked first to make sure that he wasn't breaking any vows.
Are you not attached? Because we'd like to have sex with you.
But all I can say is that what I believe was the woman. And I'm using
okay,
air
so you
quotes
don't know
here
for
on the
sure.
radio. Yeah. There was a bar up in San Francisco called Esta Noche that when you live there, it teaches you that you know things can be very deceptive at times.
Yes.
I was definitely having a moment of flashback to the yes. fine bar Esta Noche.
If you can't tell immediately which one is the woman. You need to turn that
sometimes
down.
Sometimes yeah. they look too good to be the woman.
Exactly.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. Interesting.
Just too much good stuff going on.
Yeah.
I got it.
So you could have had a very different New Orleans experience than you did, I
yes,
guess.
Yes, and that's
like.
Not different as in good different.
Like, right.
Wow,
yeah,
look,
I
everything
understand.
Has sugar on top of it.
I went to San Francisco one time with Bean, and yeah. I said, look at that woman. And he drove around the block. He said, look again. And I said, hot.
And
dude,
he said,
it's a dude.
I was like,
what?
Again.
Are you kidding me?
It really is an art form.
Yes. Yeah.
It is. It's impressive. Now, we have a lot of stuff we need to talk to Adam about, but I have one more piece of old business that I need to finish up first because we're all about the G4 here on the Kevin Bean Show. You
Which
know
is
we
good
love
of
you. Love your channel. And we had Olivia. Olivia from Attack of the Show was in last week. She co-hosted while Lisa was on vacation last week for us. And we had a wonderful time with her. And I have to ask, since you see her in the halls over there at G4, is she asking about us at all? Is she jealous that you're here and she's not? Does she miss us? Has she ever thought about us one time since she left?
I can answer
well,
that.
Well, you know, I'll probably find out once I get to work this morning, go in my dressing room, and I'll see if those bear traps are laid out again. Mm. It's the last time that I was here.
Yeah. Wow, all so right. that gets rough,
Cause,
huh?
Because I'd like to think that she loves us as much as we love her, but I'm not getting that sense when she's in here that she does
that. I can guarantee she doesn't.
I'll get some Valentine's Day cards, those old ones, and I'll sign her name on it. You guys should feel great about yourself.
That's nice.
All right. The reason Adam is here is because, and he has been warning us that there's a lot of great stuff coming out to keep our eyes peeled. And today was one of the dates you said we need to be paying attention because it's Brutal Legend today.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me why that's such a big deal, Adam.
Well, there's many reasons. One, it's the gentleman who makes the game. His name is Tim Schafer in Double Fine Studios. This guy is a storied man of the games industry. Really, he's probably one of those creative minds. He did a game that came out about 4 years ago called Psychonauts that was one of those critical darlings that was so mistreated by its publisher that no one actually got to experience the game. Mm. And this is the first time that he's had a product and the right people behind it to really do something big and special. And I think he has. It's a game that's also probably the most accessible that he's ever made because it has Jack Black in it. It's set in this heavy metal world with all of these great singers that are doing voice work in the game.
Tell us some of the people that do it, because Jack Black is enough for me to be in.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, tell us who else is
in. Well, you got Lemmy from Motorhead. You got Lita Ford.
Wow.
You have Tim Curry that does an amazing job as the ultimate bad guy in like this demon creature in the land of metal. And then you also have Brian Posehn and David Cross. It's this wonderful assortment of voice work. And what's so good is the writing merits having them in the game. It's incredibly funny. And it's not just funny because what they're saying is funny. This is one of those rare video games that when you're watching the story, the animation understands that there's timing involved in what needs to happen. It's not just something written on a page. You have to actually give it some type of acting.
That is awesome.
It's really a lot of fun. And for those that play games that might be with other people that don't like games, this is one of those rare games that they could sit on the couch with you and have as much fun as you playing it.
Now, the plot line sounds like a Tenacious D movie, right?
It is close, but the character that he plays, Eddie Riggs, is not like kind of the bumbling idiocy that you get in Tenacious D.
Right.
He is a roadie who is very upset with his job. He's kind of, you know, roadieing for a band like Linkin Park and stuff like that. That's not metal as he knows it.
Right.
And then he has an accident on the stage and blood gets on his belt buckle. And then a big demon comes and takes him to the land of metal. And this is the best part of the game, is this land.
The land of metal.
It looks like various heavy metal album covers. Like, one of the first things you're confronted with is a mountain of skulls. And then you have a strange, sexy nurse creature that comes and you have to fight it. Then you have to ride her contraption down this mountain of skulls. And from there, it gets more and more inventive. And probably one of the best parts of the game is proceeding through it and opening up new areas, jungles and ice levels, because they're done so cleverly that, like, it's that sense of surprise that really, really propels you through the game.
That sounds awesome, by the way, Adam. That sounds like really a lot of fun.
It really is a love letter to heavy metal. And obviously, Tim Schafer, who made the game, he grew up with metal. He loves it. And you just feel that kind of joy and exuberance that he has when he thinks about, you know, being young and all those fantasies that the music brought in his head.
That was my only question as a metalhead was, did gamer types, the guys at Double Fine, approach the people in the world of metal to try to make a game? Or did the people in the world of metal approach them thinking that it would be ripe for, you know,
this is a game that he wanted to do for about 15 years. Now, when he started to develop it, he had no intention of actually getting all of these celebrities to do the voice work.
Right.
It just turned out that over time, things seemed to work in his favor. And so what you'll see is that there are characters that there's a character called Halford, but it's not voiced by Rob Halford. And Rob Halford was actually getting confused at some times where he was actually having to address someone with his own name when he was doing the voice
work.
Well,
that's a lot.
It's very clever how it all comes together.
Brutal Legend is available in stores today. It's for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Now, forgive my ignorance on this topic, Adam, but is this the first one? This is the first Brutal Legend?
Yes. This is the first. One would like to think of many, I don't know.
And Jack Black is the guy that you control and he goes through the world.
Yes, Eddie Riggs. Now, some of the other stuff you do in the game is you help liberate different types of metal fans. The first group are a bunch of headbangers that are being used by their evil overlords to mine rock. Just by using their heads, banging it against the wall. And so once you liberate these groups, they become kind of your small army. And so you do these big battles where you independently control Eddie the roadie with his big axe and his guitar, but you also give commands to these various groups of fans to kind of do your bidding as well. So you get these epic, and they literally are stage battles. Like, you see the stage with the lights. I mean, there's no sort of rhyme or reason. Like, it's not a medieval world. It's not a modern world. If it's cool, it's in the world. That's the only check that out on our website, g4tv.com. So,
by the way, is Eddie already? I mean, the character's name is an inside joke because of the Iron Maiden logo. I mean, is that where it came from?
Yes, everything. It's a neat game that if you have an incredibly deep knowledge of metal, there are so many jokes that are going right over my head.
If you don't
like metal or that's not really your thing, the game is still amazingly accessible, and it's not like it's keeping you out from it. It is not intended for just metalheads.
There's
enough profanity and blood in this game.
He's
the host, editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4. We're talking about Brutal Legend, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3. And we'll talk about some more video games when we come back on The Kevin and Bean Show.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I'm not at all trying to look past our guest in studio, Adam Sessler from G4, but I'm just saying Jessica Stroup is coming up next hour from Beverly Hills 90210. That's all I'm saying. Jessica Stroup is going to be here.
All right.
Hi, Adam. What's going on?
Oh, man.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm changing Adam my name to Jessica, just so you know.
Adam is the host and editor-in-chief of an awesome show on G4 called X-Play that airs weeknights at 8. We just spent some time catching up with him on Brutal Legend, the biggest release that's out today. But there's something else worth thinking about picking up if you're going out, right?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? This might be just as big as Brutal Legend. It's Uncharted 2. Probably the one thing that keeps from being as big is that it's only available for the PlayStation 3.
Is that normal these days, is that it's only for one? Because it seems like most of them are multi.
Well, Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo all publish games as well as offer the platform to play them on.
Right.
Then you also have companies like Electronic Arts or Activision that just publish the games. And they want to spread the love kind of evenly to make as much money. But in order to sell those consoles, you need to distinguish them with content you can only get. That's why Microsoft only has Halo and Uncharted is only available for the PlayStation 3.
Gotcha, because they want to move boxes. So this is Uncharted 2. Was the first Uncharted a massive hit?
It was a strong hit. This was early on in the life of the PlayStation 3 when it was having sort of a hard time getting into people's homes, probably because it was really, really expensive.
Expensive, yeah.
Right.
It has dropped in price, and this is actually kind of a wonderful 1-2 punch. Uncharted 2 is just an incredibly fabulous game. particular elements the right way. So you feel like, oh, this is a cool sequence, or this is, you know, really neat part of the story. And this, it all blends together, and that you're just doing awesome things. And they know how to raise that tension and make it, you feel like, oh no, what do I do now? And the animations for their hero, Nathan Drake, as he runs around in these areas kind of grabbing guns and punching out bad guys, you feel like an action hero. And it really is, it's a technological accomplishment, but what's so amazing about it is that you don't notice the technology. It's how well it's incorporated into the game to just make it so exciting. Probably their biggest thing they did is you can move on moving physics. There's probably nothing that probably people didn't realize they couldn't
say that
do.
Again?
So you can move a character or other enemies. Can be moving on a piece of physics that's moving itself. So when you're on a train and you're running on top of the train or running down into the train, you really feel the movements of the train as it's going around the corners. That affects the camera in the game, which gives it kind of a nice sense of cinematic tension.
Oh, interesting.
And you don't notice any of this happening. You just know you're having a really, really good time.
Right.
What is the mission of Nathan Drake? Is he trying to steal something or kill somebody or what?
He's a treasure hunter slash thief, and he is a descendant of Sir Francis Drake. In this one, he's trying to find these lost fleet of ships from Marco Polo.
Another game about the lost ships of Marco Polo.
Yeah, I know. Well,
really?
Yeah,
wow. Now tired of that.
And this takes him on a series of adventures, and all of a sudden, obviously, there's unimaginable power in one of the things that are on one of these ships, and there's a very, very bad person that's also going to try and get it. It takes you really in these interesting places. It starts in Turkey. You're going to find yourself in a war-torn Nepalese city, and then you go way up into the Himalayan mountains, and then there's an even more exciting place that it goes that I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Wow.
That sounds great.
It does sound great.
It really is. It's probably the best-looking game I've ever played in terms of just the colors and all that stuff. Probably when Modern Warfare 2 comes out, I'm going to have to take back that comment. But for right now, I don't think you can find one that's better looking.
Adam, is there much between now and Christmas, or is everything pretty much out?
We still have a handful of big titles that are coming out. At the end of this month, there's a game called Borderlands. It's probably going to be the dark horse of the holiday season. It's a four-player co-op apocalyptic game. And then we have some very big ones. We have Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. This is the year's biggest game. Yeah. There's no question about it. And then there's Assassin's Creed 2, which is a follow-up to the very adult Assassin's Creed. And this time you're playing an assassin in Venice, Italy, and Florence. And then probably the last one to round out the season is going to be Left 4 Dead 2. This is the cooperative shooter where you have to stop an onslaught of zombies with you and three of your friends. And they've now moved a lot of the action to the American South. And it looks really, really cool.
Hey, I'm telling you, these people that are playing the zombie games, they're going to have a leg up when the real invasion gets here. They're going to know what to do in the rest of the
zombie. And, you know, one thing I've learned from playing the zombie games, don't ask for my help. It's not going to work out well for you.
Oh, that sucks.
You can get more information about Brutal Legend and also Uncharted 2 Among Thieves on Adam's show, X-Play on G4, and, of course, on your website, too, which is g4tv.com. It sounds like Adam will be seeing you again before year's end, but it's always great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, my pleasure.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show all morning long. We've been giving you highlights, if you want to call them that, of the brand new Christmas album from Bob Dylan. He's singing better than he ever has before, as far as I'm concerned. He sounds like a man of 25 again.
He's terrible.
I just couldn't be more impressed. Last hour, we heard a little bit of his I'll Be Home for Christmas. In about 10 minutes, Kevin, I'm going to give you some Winter Wonderland.
So
if you think you know Bob Dylan, wait till you hear his take on Winter Wonderland in about 10 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Isn't the only good thing about Bob Dylan his songwriting?
Yes.
I mean, if he wasn't a songwriter, he would have never made it with that voice. Ever.
He is an acquired taste.
Yeah.
I can understand why some people don't enjoy his singing per se, but that's because they haven't heard the new Christmas album.
Ah, sure. Okay. Let's talk about Phantom of the Opera. We don't do this much, but Andrew Lloyd Webber apparently has written a sequel.
Really?
And it's going to open March 2010 in London.
Wow.
Now, the Phantom of the Opera is the one that they made the movie a couple of years ago that Emmy Rossum was in. And it is considered one of the biggest Broadway hits of all time, not only in New York but around the world. It's been performed in every country around the world, and it's just a massive, massive hit. The story goes all the way back to the early 1900s. It's been a subject of a bunch of hit movies, and apparently the legend grows on as they make a sequel to the opera.
So there's this dude in the story, Raman Karamlu, who is apparently playing the Phantom, and he says that he's done some research, and it seems to him like the Phantom of the Opera has some problems with perhaps Asperger's.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He diagnosed him?
Which is Asperger's syndrome.
Because the guy is kind of effed up.
He's very much a loner.
Yep.
He doesn't get along with people.
That's
same
true.
Thing with Bean. Here are some of the things with Asperger.
Okay.
And by the way, I know it sounds like A-S-S-B-U-R. But it isn't. It's ASP.
Asperger.
Yes. I prefer to do things on my own rather than with people.
Mm-hmm.
I find it hard to make new friends. It upsets me greatly if my daily routine is disturbed.
Check.
I don't know how to tell if someone is getting bored.
Check.
I'm obsessed with maps.
Check.
Okay. Other people All frequently right. tell me that what I've said is impolite, even though I think it is polite.
Check.
I'm obsessed with dates.
Oh,
I find
yeah.
social situations difficult.
Check,
so
check, check.
All of these things are true of Bean and the Phantom of the Opera.
Absolutely.
I don't know what you're talking about, but we thought we'd get more about this diagnosis with the actor who has been playing him on stage for so long in London. Kevin, I'm going to give you the opportunity to pronounce his name again as we bring him to the phone.
Hey, Ramin Karimloo.
What's up, bro? Hey, dude, bro.
How are you?
I'm good, dude, bro. How you doing, bro?
Very good. Thank you.
My friend,
You must be a hell of an actor, because I can't picture Andrew Lloyd Webber having you come up to the audition and going, yes, that's my Phantom.
I'm Iranian, dude, bro. I'm Persian singer. I'm good. Good time, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, okay, now, what about this? I would imagine that if anybody would know if the Phantom of the Opera had Asperger's syndrome, it would be Andrew Lloyd Webber, who wrote the musical. But you're saying this is your interpretation.
As an actor, bro, I have to get into character, huh?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I go deep research, huh, mm-hmm. on character, and I start to realize when I sing the song and get into character, bro, he has Asperger's.
He does. That's why he's a loner and keeps to himself and can't get along with people?
Listen to me. I never realized that, my friend, but when I start to become the Phantom on the stage,
uh-huh.
I realize he's got the Asperger's. Listen to me. I'm at rehearsal right now, bro. You want
oh.
me to sing a song to you? Maybe you get the picture.
Are these songs from the upcoming?
You got it.
All right.
You got Phantom. It, bro.
In sleep I sing to you, in dreams I came.
Hello, kitty, so phone case, I love Pluto.
What?
Wait, hold on. What does I love Pluto have to do with the Phantom of the Opera?
What just happened?
I don't know, bro.
You were singing weird. The Phantom of the Opera.
That's weird.
Try it again.
Let me try that one more All time, bro.
Okay.
That didn't make any sense.
Mm-mm.
In sleep I sing to you, in dreams I...
Minnie Riperton reached number 4 on the charts with Loving You.
Well, first of all, that song went to number 2, but second of all, what does that have to do with Phantom of the Opera?
I don't,
it just sounds like you're making fun of me now.
My friend, I don't know what's happening.
Well, I don't think he knows
this
you.
This is strange, bro.
You don't know what's happening?
Why when I sing this? I'm sorry.
Try it one more time.
That won't happen again.
Okay.
I bet it won't happen again.
In sleep I sing to you. In
the corn dog was invented at the Texas State Fair sometime between 1928 and 32. Why is the post office so much fun?
Okay.
Oh, my
All
God.
Right.
Why is it so low?
All right. I see where we're headed with this.
The moon's great.
The moon is great, by the way. You can't deny that.
Bursting out the seams.
Aw. Who's with me?
Nope.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:54.
No.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jessica Stroup from Beverly Hills 90210 joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean
yeah.
Show. And right now, you can if you're in Las Vegas, you can place odds on whether Dewan will remember to call in and talk to her or not. That's what we're all waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph's on vacation this week, but that doesn't mean the world stops turning. There's lots of great stuff happening, including this just in. You can now buy strands of Michael Jackson's hair that were burned during the Pepsi commercial. Now,
Who
would still have that?
This is what's amazing to me. The accident happened in 1984 when Michael Jackson was filming a Pepsi commercial. And it was very serious. And a lot of people point to that as the beginning of the end for Michael Jackson, because it was after that that he allegedly became hooked on painkillers and it started a downward spiral with drugs, right? We were amazed to see the video come out just this year after Michael Jackson's death. Remember, the video came out. And we were like, where's this been for all these years? Now, apparently, Ralph Cohen, who was the executive producer of the commercial, he's the guy who took off his coat. You can see it in the video. He took off his coat to wrap it around Michael Jackson's head to try to put the flames out. Well, apparently, for all these years, he has kept in a baggie 12 pieces of hair from Michael Jackson that are singed from the fire on the Pepsi commercial.
That's creepy.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do with
that? Why is that guy doing that?
He is putting it up for auction. He's put it up for sale. Along with, he's gonna write up an account, a first-person account of what happened that day, include a signed color photo of Michael Jackson, and offer the hair in a baggie.
Is it back when he was colored?
Yeah, exactly right. But anyway, I don't know how you feel about celebrity memorabilia when it's in fact actually a body part. But
I'm not in favor.
You have a shot at buying it if you want to. Hmm.
This is in the category of even you won't believe your luck if you can't find a man. Amy Winehouse. You know, we did the story yesterday. Amy Winehouse got the boob job.
Yeah.
Right.
Apparently, she's been seeing a mystery man for a little over a month. Oh. Now that woman got a man.
Right?
That's the story.
I know.
She got a man.
She is famous.
But look at her. Mm-hmm. And look at the news over the last 2 years. She's a disaster.
She lured him with drugs.
Who's going, I want that to be my woman because she's clean and wholesome. She's really... that's a terrible, terrible... And she got a dude.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting that he should have looked at her and said, no, no, no? Is that what you're suggesting?
Oh. Yes, yes, yes.
Let's go to line two real quick. Yeah. We've got Dewan is on the phone. Let's see if we can coordinate him getting on with Jessica Shrubin in a few minutes. Hey, Dewan, how are you?
Good, thank you. What's up, Kevin Levine? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Dewan.
Now, you're a little bit early, but your girlfriend Jessica Shrubin from 90210, she is going to be coming in here in just a few minutes, okay?
No problem.
All right, so you wanted to know if it's the right time to call. It's a little early, calling about 10 after.
Sure.
All right, Dewan.
We're looking forward to it. I know Jessica is, too.
Okay.
All right. How do you know that exactly?
Because how could she not want to talk to Dewan? That's a highlight of our day. Why wouldn't it be the highlight of hers? Hey, congratulations to Heidi Klum. She kicked off her weekend in the maternity ward on Friday. She gave birth to her latest child with husband Seal. The new baby is named Lou. That is the girl's name, Lou. L-O-U. Yes.
Oh.
Lou. How great is that?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
In case you're keeping track, by the way, Lou has two big brothers named Henry and Johan, and a 5-year-old half-sister named Lenny. So all fairly reasonable names.
What with the girls' names?
What's wrong with them?
Lenny and Lou, and their dad's name is Seal?
I don't know what is happening here. Wait, who are you?
That can't
who
be for her.
In there?
Seal, yeah.
It can't be for Seal either. Seal's a good-looking dude.
No,
hot.
Seal, no.
Yeah.
Chicks love Seal.
Really?
That doesn't mean he's hot.
Yes, he is.
His face has been sandblasted.
Yeah, he does have a little bit of the road rash. Anyway, Heidi Klum is miraculous because now she's had, I don't know if she had all three or all four of these kids, but look at her. I mean, she kind of, all the time we say that the hot chick should you should hire a fat lady to have their babies. Heidi is the exception to the rule because she still looks fantastic no matter how many kids she has.
I know it.
But she does still need to stop it. But congratulations on Lou.
The UK's News of the World, which is a tabloid over there, is saying that Britney Spears has been watching K-Fed.
Yes.
Eat and party and drink and have fun and do nothing.
Uh-huh.
And that she has instructed her lawyers that she wants to go after sole custody of the kids.
Interesting.
Well, after seeing the way K-Fed was living, I can understand why she wouldn't want her kids around that. That's for sure.
Yeah, but she's still Britney.
Yeah, I know.
So how's that better?
We really need a third party.
We need a third party. There's no... a judge should go, you're right, Britney, but then he's right about you. So
you
neither.
You don't think she's cleaned it up enough, though, to be considered a potentially good mom at this point?
I don't know.
Isn't she on tour?
She is on tour.
Still?
Yeah.
So how's that going to work with
I don't
the kids?
Know. To me, she'll always be unfit to me. I don't know, but she just seems like she's a mess.
Yeah.
A hot mess. And just because her dad got her in shape
got
for
her cleaned
a couple
up.
Of months, who knows if it's going to stick.
Right.
Today is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs in store and available for download. Drag Me to Hell is out. That was the horror movie with Ali Lohan. Is that the actress's name I think was in that? It's supposed to be a pretty good... Pretty good movie. Futurama, the complete collection out on DVD. Very funny show. The Proposal is out now. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, available finally on Blu-ray. Kevin, one for you. Jackass, the Lost Tapes.
That's out on
DVD today. The two CDs worth mentioning. One is Dead by Sunrise, which is Chester Bennington's new project, the guy from Linkin Park. Terrific record from what I've heard of it. It's called Out of Ashes. That's available everywhere today. And we have been counting down the days for the return of Bob Dylan. His new Christmas album is called Christmas in the Heart. He is releasing it as a charity project to raise money to fight hunger around the world. And all morning long, we've been spotlighting tracks from the great Bob Dylan, who I think is singing better than he ever has. I think, again, he sounds like a young man.
He sounds like the Crypt Keeper, first of all. And second of all, he sounds like the Crypt Keeper.
You be the judge, Kevin. Here's a little of the great Bob Dylan singing Winter Wonderland.
You'll see how you marry the single man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. The face of the fame, the plans that we made. Walking in a winter wonderland.
He does kind of sound like he's doing the voice of a Pixar villain, doesn't he?
It does. It's horrible.
Rock and roll!
That's not good.
That is, they thought I was kidding when I started playing clips early this morning.
I can't believe this is
if
him.
He wants to help with hunger, shouldn't he make that album good?
Shouldn't he let someone else sing?
My God, that's terrible.
Today's celebrity birthdays, hottie R&B singer Ashanti is 29 years old today. She doesn't use it, but I think her last name is Douglas, by the way. Access Hollywood TV personality Billy Bush is 38. Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files, is 52. Still talking about another X-Files movie. Hope that happens. How about Jerry Rice, former Dancing with the Stars contestant and NFL great, turns 47 today. Olympic skater Nancy Kerrigan is 40. Sammy Hagar, 62. But the reason we celebrate today is the man who brought us Ali G, the man who brought us Bruno, the man who brought us Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen, 38 today.
How do you plan to repay the loan?
I will let you use my sister for 6 months.
Jessica Stroup from Beverly Hills 90210 joins us when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, there it is. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, Beverly Hills 90210. On with a new episode tonight at 8 on the CW. The artist formerly known as Jessica Stroup, now apparently known as Jessica Strout.
There you go.
Who knew?
What the hell?
I've been saying your name wrong the whole time.
Apparently you have. I walked in. I'm like, let's get that fixed
it's
right
Strout.
Now.
Oh, we've been saying it wrong for months.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we apologize for that.
Sorry. Big Trout.
Trout.
Yeah,
okay, Jessica
like the
Trout.
Worst possible way to say it, but whatever. Right. Whatever works.
Jessica. You are young and hot and on a hit show, and you are now, you've turned into one of those people who carries her tiny little dog with her everywhere she goes. What's up? What's up with you and Willow?
Come on. Okay, you know what? Everybody can applaud, whatever.
Yes, go ahead, Paris Hilton. Tell us about that.
You got to tell me my dog is the coolest thing you've ever seen.
It's the cutest dog ever.
She's pretty fantastic.
Here's what I know. You brought in your little dog, and Lisa, who never, ever does this, went running into the other room to say hi.
Oh, I know. She steals the show. Like, I would walk down the street.
Rolling around on the floor.
She's amazing. She's a Pomeranian, but she looks like a little chihuahua. Not a chihuahua. What do you call it? Oh, I just forgot. But like a hyena or something.
A hyena.
Like a little tiny. Yeah.
That's not a chinchilla.
That's what I was going for.
Hyenas are not attractive.
No, but a little one. But, we'll take a picture with you and Willow.
Yes.
But why? Here's the question I have for you. Look, we all love our dogs. We all have dogs. Lisa has two. Kevin has one. Mike has four. I have six, believe it or not. But we all love our dogs. But we generally don't take them with us when we go to work.
Well, here's the thing. I film usually 12 plus hours a day, so I'm not going to leave her at home, and I got to go straight to work, so I brought her.
All right.
There you go.
Maybe if you want.
That's why. They don't let us.
We
let her.
We brought in one of Bean's goats one day. We brought it into the studio.
Really now? Yeah. And did you get some goat's milk?
We got in trouble is what
we got.
They came in and said no animals are allowed. And we said, there's no animal here.
For real, it was a goat?
It was a goat.
It was a goat.
And it was pooping all over the studio, which was great.
By the way, in my defense, there was no goat policy in effect that we were ever advised of.
There was no animals, though.
There you go. Or you can do the, you bring it and just assume that it's okay. Like I did in the parking lot. And I'm like, so I got my dog.
Yeah, of course. That's the way you do it.
Now, Jessica, we only have a few minutes with you, and I am fascinated with the story of those, the people who make it, because let's face it, you've decided to be an actor, so you're asking for a lifetime of pain. And, you know, I mean, what's the statistic, Kevin? Isn't it like 95% of actors don't make enough money to live on, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just a bad. So how does one get the gonads to pack up and move from where? From North Carolina? Is that where you're from?
I never did that because I don't have them.
You don't have no gonads. Okay, that is a bad choice of words.
No, I was 17. I'd moved like nine. I've been to I think nine schools by 10th grade or so.
Wow.
Was your dad in the service or something?
You think so? Yeah, he was a banker. So we just were constantly going and going.
He was running from the law.
Was he running from the law?
Okay, look, I'm in the mafia, all right? No, and I just, you know, I had a scholarship to go to Georgia, and I decided to defer for a year and just give it a shot. And I think that's what really saved me, was kind of having that backup plan that it wasn't like, this is everything. Like, I have to book this job, this job, this job. It was like I had, you know, time to kind of feel it out and just
So you moved to L.A. for a year, and if you didn't make it or didn't get some hopeful signs, you were going to go back and go to college.
Exactly.
I see.
Yeah.
Did you have any kind of acting experience before you moved out to L.A. at 17?
I mean, your usual, you know, trying to be in plays, even though I never got cast in any play.
Okay, so
especially the musicals. I was always trying to sing, but apparently I don't have a good voice.
All right, well, let me ask you this question then, because most people, they take their, you know, their experience leading up, and if they don't get cast in plays, they don't go, I'm going to move out to LA and be an actress.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, no, the cliche, like, I mean, this seriously happened to me. I remember we had this huge poster board of the entire United States where every kid was going for college. I mean, we had some like 2,000 kids in my graduating class. It was a huge school. And they moved mine from Georgia to California, just undecided. Mm-hmm. And my acting teacher, my drama teacher at the time, came up to me and was like, Jessica, don't do it. Don't do it. And I remember standing there in the hallway, and I'm like, and there were all these rumors of like the girls were so catty and all this, like, why are you going to go? What do she think she's a model? Like all that kind of stuff. And I was like, screw it. I'm going. Why not?
Wow.
I just went. And I had a blast.
Don't now, do it. What was his name? Can we call him today?
What was his name? Her name.
Her name, sorry.
Her name was Mrs. Dean.
No, Mrs. Dean.
Mrs.
Dean.
No idea
what she
was
talking
about. And she writes in the paper in Charlotte, because I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where I was
in
school with her.
Did she put a public apology in there?
No, she writes like she knows me. Like she's the one that taught me. I'm like, this is terrible.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, my student Ms. Jessica
Dean,
is
anybody
out
that
in
knows
LA.
Her.
Yeah.
Right.
So
liar.
You kind of had a little bit of a fast track. So you get to town and you get into some commercials and some guest appearances on some pretty good shows. And that was enough to get a reel together. So then when 90210 started casting, you were kind of in the right place at the right time, it sounds like.
I mean, absolutely. I've been lucky enough to travel a lot with the movies that I've done. And I was actually on a show called Reaper. I was on like a
love
three,
that show.
Five episodes. Thank you. It was fun. I was playing the devil's daughter or possible daughter.
Oh, that's right.
And,
I remember now.
And they were casting. CW was casting for this new show. And I was like, oh, man. You know, I'd always focused on movies just for constantly changing parts. But with the way everything was, I was like, I just want to focus on a TV show, and I found this one, and I had to fight for it. I mean, I was originally going in for Annie, but they said that I wasn't quote-unquote Midwestern enough.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
That's
no
the part
to Shanae
has, right?
Yeah. No offense to Shanae. I mean, she's Canadian. But and then I went out for, this silver role, which they had just rewritten, and it was really kind of funky and indie and weird, and I was like, perfect. That's me.
Did you have any feelings about it being 90210? Was that something that attracted you to it or made you kind of be fearful of being on a show like that?
A little bit both. The fact that it came with a name, and it was, I knew that there would be tons and tons of press and it would get me out there.
At the beginning.
Was exciting. Yeah. But at the same time, I knew what that meant, because I knew what the original show was. I knew how big it was, what a cultural phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And to redo it and to kind of, you know, the fans would have such high expectations.
Have that pressure
and,
on. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, I just didn't want anybody to assume it would be something exactly like the old one. You know, like our show was something totally different. And I really feel like the first year was working out the kinks, and second year is just coming on strong. I think we're doing good so far.
Yeah. That's what Shanae was telling us. She was here last week, and she was saying how you had to do certain things to indoctrinate yourself to 90210 fans in the first season. They expected certain things, but now the characters are established and well-liked. You're kind of free to go wherever you want to go with them now.
Yeah, there's a lot more freedom, and I mean, the characters, I think this year it's kind of like the backstories that you're seeing. You're just kind of going into the drama of what their lives really are. And the difference, I would say, between our show and Gossip Girl, I've been talking to some people about this lately, is like, I mean, they're both, you know, centered around this certain age group of teenagers.
But whereas Gossip Girl is New York and money and it's extravagance and escapism, ours is a lot of that, but also grounded in realism. And I think deals with a lot more stuff that people can relate to.
Right.
Right. Yeah. All right. We got to take a break right now. Jessica Straup and her little dog, too, are here with us. And
don't
we're going to take a break. By the way, Dewan is on the phone, too, so we'll bring him into the conversation and talk about what to expect on tonight's 90210 episode. It's Tuesdays, every Tuesday at 8 on the CW. We'll return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. One of the stars of 90210, Jessica Straup, is here. She, of course, plays Silver on the show with a new episode tonight at 8 on the CW. I love it when hot chicks come in and they're really, really nice.
Oh, man. Yeah. Two compliments. I'll take it.
I do love that very much. Hey, we heard, I guess maybe I saw pictures, and then we heard that you went to Paris for Fashion Week. Is that true?
Yeah, boy. I did.
It sounds like death. I can't imagine anything worse than Fashion Week in Paris, but I imagine if you're you, that's kind of a nice perk to be able to go to something like that and get seats and everything, right?
To be even more obnoxious, I found out that I could go about 2 days before I booked my ticket.
Oh, good.
Booked it and went with my girlfriend who does hair, and she did the shows like Alexander McQueen and Dior and Balmain, like all these shows. And I went to Vivienne Westwood and sat next to Rihanna and was just like, "This is
insanity." Did you talk to Rihanna?
Yeah. I've met her a couple of times.
Did you hit that?
Oh,
I'm sorry. What?
That's a valid question.
Did you get a piece of that? I mean, come
that
on.
Was terrible.
No, I didn't mean that at all that way. I really didn't.
He mean, did you have sex? He didn't mean hit that.
Yeah.
No, he would not. Even Bean would say that.
Let's
boo Bean. All right, I'm fine with that.
I'm embarrassed that accidentally slipped out of my lips. I didn't mean it that way at all. She's just so unbelievably beautiful. That's
she
the only thing.
She is unbelievably beautiful. You are right about that.
All right, before we go to our special caller on the line, anything we should know about 90210 tonight? You got another new episode at 8. What's going on in the junior year of the class?
The junior year? Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, right now, what Silver is going through, which is the character that I play, some serious stuff, actually. Her mother, she just found out, has breast cancer. And, I mean, it's a topic that touches so many lives. And I think it's really kind of fantastic that they're highlighting it and actually delving into it. And I do like a PSA at the end of it, which talks about part of a campaign that we're actually kind of participating in, where it's Warriors in Pink. Mm-hmm. And it's these T-shirts that they've designed. And they're black and they're tight and they're cute. And I'll wear one on the show. But all the proceeds, like 100%, by Ford. Ford is the one that's behind all of this, are donating it to Susan G. Coleman for the Cure. So
that's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Tonight's about reconnecting with sisters and mothers and dealing with
When
cancer.
Was the AA scene? I have a clip from the Alcoholics Anonymous. Was that last week?
That was last week.
When you told your mom off?
Yes.
Yeah. You weren't so supportive then, were you?
No. Oh, my God. It was. Listen to this, by the way, real quickly.
Yes.
Anne Gillespie, the one that plays my mother, mm-hmm. plays Jackie Taylor. She is now an ordained minister in Virginia. She left years ago, is now in Virginia, an ordained minister. So when she comes out to shoot, they have to fly her out for like 2 days at a time. And I mean, she's like, okay, I want you to really throw the keys at me. I want you to like really like do this and that. And so, I mean, that scene when we were filming, that was supposed to be the AA scene, I like throw my keys at her, hit her in the face one time.
Nice.
Like,
oh,
well, you're going straight to hell then, right? Throwing keys at a minister.
Yeah, I know.
So she gets up in front of the AA and says, I just, you know, want to make good for everything. She's trying to buy you off of the car.
Exactly.
And this is the scene at the AA meeting.
I really wanted to be here tonight so that I could tell my mother once and for all to stay away from me. Everything that she said, trust me, it's gonna last until she's had a bad day. She's gonna go back to the bottle or the pills. But you did get one thing right, Jackie. You were a terrible mother. The worst of the worst. And if you think that you can buy me back a car, that's just proof that you don't know me at all. Stay away from me. I mean it. You're dead to me.
You're dead to me.
Oh, wow. Now, hold on a second. What kind of car is it? Let's not rush into this.
That's what I was thinking.
It was a sick Porsche, I think. She
could buy you off for a little while.
I mean, trust me. Like, well, the cool thing is my character drives a Vespa, so I've got like practice driving this Vespa. But in the scene, I have to pull up and get off the Vespa and then go get this car. And I'm like, you guys, are you kidding me? We should have gotten like even a different color, like a red, beautiful Porsche or whatever.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, 90210 tonight at 8 on the CW. Let's welcome its number one fan back to the Kevin and Bean Show, Dewan A. Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, from Los Angeles, California. Hey, Dewan.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Dewan.
Hey, Dewan, Jessica. We're here with your girlfriend, Jessica.
Hey, Dewan.
How's it going?
Going good now that I'm talking to you. How are you doing?
Awesome. I really like your character, Silver, on 90210, and I like the show, too.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy that you watch it.
Dwan has parties on Tuesday nights where he has people over to watch 90210.
When are you inviting me, Dwan?
Say that again?
When are you inviting me to your parties on Tuesday night?
How about tonight?
Good idea.
Hey, Dwan, you have to tell Jessica there's some very delicate parking arrangements at your house, though, right?
Yeah, they can park, like, at my house at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight.
But not before.
But not before.
No.
Because they tow you if you park on Dwan's street before 7. So you can't. Oh. You have to be there in time for the show at 8, Jessica, but you can't get there any earlier than 7. That's the point here.
I see. Well, Dwan, I'm actually filming tonight, so I can't make it tonight. But it is a pleasure to talk to you for sure, and I'm really glad that you watch it.
Thank you.
Dwan now, was waiting. We thought you were going to be on the show yesterday, and Dwan was waiting all day. And And then it was, you know, our fault. We'll put it on us. And then we made Dwan call back. So.
Hey, Dwan, do you have any questions for Jessica about the show? I know that you've seen every single episode. Are there any characters or scenes or plot lines that you want to ask her about now that you have the chance?
If the character Naomi, she's like sometimes rude to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's a question?
Yes. And other question, what's your next movie coming up?
Ooh, okay. Okay.
That's a multi-part.
First part of that one.
Yes.
She does seem rude a lot of the time. Her character is definitely one of the... She plays funny mean, I think, though. She kind of goes down the path where it comes off humorous sometimes, but she's definitely mean. But my next movie... Good question, man.
You don't know?
I'm still, you know, reading and trying to fit stuff in and film. It's difficult. We film, you know, 10 months out of the year. So whenever the hiatus comes, it's like jump in there and I'm reading some great stuff right now.
How long until you're off for the break?
We get off in April.
Wow. That's like having a job. That's a real that's a work. Crazy. All right. Well, listen, Dwan, we're going to have to say goodbye to you now because Jessica's got to go, but I'm glad we got a chance to hook you two lovebirds up.
Yes, Dwan. What a pleasure. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
All right, Dwan. Have a good day.
Bye, Dwan.
Bye now.
Bye.
Jessica, you are awesome. I'm so glad we got to meet you.
Yes, same. Guys, it's been fun. It's been real.
It has been fun. We've been wanting to have you on for a long time, and I hope that you and Willow will come back and see us again soon.
Thank you, and never call me Paris again. All right.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Hopefully, there'll be some footage of Catherine visiting us here at the studios at K-Rock.
Let's not hold our fingers, for God's sakes.
Let's not hold our fingers?
Cross our fingers.
I'm not going to hold my finger if you don't hold your finger.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
By my standards, that's not too bad. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 9:43.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, very deeply in love with Miss Jessica Straub. She was quite lovely.
Oh,
I'm very happy
wonderful.
That she came by. Yeah, very, very nice. I'm going to start watching her show now.
It was good that you're the interview killer, though, right in the middle of it. I mean, that was nice.
What do you mean I'm the interview killer?
You brought a screeching halt for no reason.
I didn't.
Let me just play the clip. We were talking about her sitting next to Rihanna. And you asked her if she hit that, and that went over poorly.
I went to Vivian Westwood and sat next to Rihanna and was just like.
Did you hit that?
Oh!
Be the interview killer!
I swear to God, I didn't think in terms of hitting her. I was thinking of, did you, you know, have sex with her? Did
right.
you get yourself a piece of that? I didn't. No one's ever going to believe me. I swear to God, I didn't. I wish I were that.
Right.
All right. Ralph is on vacation this week. We continue to take a look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, they've got an app for that. How many times have you heard that lately? There are something like 80,000 apps now in the Apple Store. 80,000. I mean,
unbelievable.
It's ridiculous to try to keep up with all of them, but they really do have an app for everything. And now Metallica has their own iPhone app.
Yeah.
You can now access downloads from more than 269 of their live concerts. You know, if you're somebody who wants 150 versions of Ride the Lightning on your iPhone, this is a great app for you, right? You can buy tracks for 99 cents. Some of them are can be had for free. You can listen to them right on your iPhones. Just go to Metallica.com and set up an account and get ready to bang your head. But if you're a Metallica fan, you want to have everything, you should at least know that that is out there for you.
Two stories about Oprah Winfrey. One is a former employee slapped her with a lawsuit for $75,000. Us Weekly reports Corrine Girls, who worked as a flight attendant on her private plane.
Okay.
Supposedly... Nice. She was fired for joining the Mile High Club with one of the pilots.
I'm so fat.
When Oprah, I think, was not on the plane.
So, but then the other people said, oh, yeah, yeah, she, so she ended up firing her and this woman suing. The stewardess claims that the people lying about her is named Myron Gooch and Kirby Bumpus, which is who's the daughter of Gail King. But anyway, she ended up firing the woman and the woman is suing her for $75,000.
Oh, wow.
You know, this is really interesting. I don't know if there's any validity to this, but I tend to believe the lawsuits against celebrities when the amount of money that is being sued for is so modest. The fact that this is a $75,000 lawsuit says to me she's trying to get back the money she was going to make
for the next year
or something like that. Otherwise, if it's a crazy lawsuit, somebody sues Oprah for $100 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's when you just say go away.
There's and the second story is a news anchor in Dallas that was interviewing Oprah and took the opportunity that everyone has been waiting for, which is to ask her to apologize for introducing the country to Dr. Phil.
Oh.
Because he's a blight on the civilization, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
bad
such a
news.
Blowhard.
So here's a little bit of that.
But would you like to take this opportunity to apologize to America for introducing us to Dr. Phil?
No, I do not.
I mean, seriously, I think I speak on all of us from Texas.
Aren't you proud of your boy from Texas?
No.
Nope, not proud of him.
Look, Oprah would never say this. But you got to imagine that there are times with some of the stuff that Dr. Phil has done where she's just rolled her eyes and thought,
right.
Oh, my God, what am I doing?
Of course.
How did I, why did I bring
in
him
private, on the show? She has to say that all the time because he's just a jackass.
Yeah, sometimes he is. That's true. This is a great blind item, by the way. You know, we've talked to Entertainment Weekly's Mike Osiello a couple times on the show. He's a very, very good writer with lots of great inside sources in Hollywood. Here's something that he has just posted on the EW website. A male series regular, an actor now, on a one-hour drama, a one-time ratings powerhouse, just learned that he was out of a job only after reading his character's death scene in the script.
Wow.
Now, I don't know what show this is, but let's think about this as we hear more. According to My Mole, the popular and well-respected leading man who tapes his final scenes this week was blindsided, not just by his ouster, but by the tacky way it was handled. He was hurt that the producers didn't tell him first, said the source. He deserved better. This is a guy who found out he was being fired from a hit television show that he's a lead actor on because he read in the script that he was dead.
What kind of shows would have a could kill off a lead character?
I don't know, but
not that many.
I can't wait to find out because I think that's fantastic. He apparently had some frustrations with the lack of communication from the front office for some time. So maybe this is how they... Hell, you want us to communicate with you?
Yeah.
Here's us communicating with you.
Here's a script. Read this.
The only clue is that it's not Grey's Anatomy, but he'll have more hints coming soon, and hopefully soon we'll all find out. But I love hearing about stories like that. Hollywood's the best.
I always wonder about DVRs, like TiVos and stuff like that, because I record everything and watch it later.
So do I.
I just have, you know, hundreds of shows that I tape. And apparently Fox's Dollhouse has been picked up for a full season. Fans of the show taped it in big numbers, so much so that they actually took it into account yesterday. And the ratings for the show went up 50% based on DVRs.
Well, that really makes sense on a Friday night show, especially.
Right.
Yes.
Right. On a show on a Friday night, it makes sense. People want to go out. They still want to watch the show, so they'll record it and watch it later. And they're finally taking this into account, which I think is great.
I do, too.
I mean, for example, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's show's on at 12:05. Well, I work in the morning. I can't watch it. Tape it every night.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so you would hope that people get credit for the shows that you tape.
Right.
And maybe they are, actually.
I also wonder if there's a way that they can tell whether the show is actually ever watched or if they get ratings counted based on the number of people that record it.
That's a good question because I do record a lot of stuff I don't watch.
Yeah, that's what I wonder about that. But yeah. Yeah, DVR is the way to go. Today is Tuesday. That means new stuff on DVD and CD in stores and available for download. If you love the Futurama series, the late great Futurama is available in the complete collection on DVD starting today. Sandra Bullock's hit movie from the summer, The Proposal, is out today. Drag Me to Hell, also out. Jackass, the Lost Tapes.
Yeah.
If you loved How the Grinch Stole Christmas, although it doesn't say here whether it's the outstanding TV series or the terrible movie, but it is out on Blu-ray today. CDs in store and available for download today include our friend Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, his Dead by Sunrise album, which I can't wait to get, Out of Ashes. That's out today. R. Kelly has a new one out today called Zodiac. I want to hear that and see if there's any kind of a, you know, Trapped in the Closet revisit or something.
I got to tell you, every time I listen to R. Kelly, I think, are they kidding me? He's awful.
Your girlfriend, Shakira, is out finally with her new record called She-Wolf. Looking forward to that. Really, though, the reason to celebrate, and I know it may be too early for Christmas for most people, but when it comes to Bob Dylan and his new Christmas album, Christmas in the Heart, available now, You can't get any better than Bob Dylan. Now, we heard a little bit of him singing Here Comes Santa Claus. We heard a little bit of I'll Be Home for Christmas, Winter Wonderland. Now, it's the all-time Christmas standard, the Chestnuts Roasting on Open Fire Christmas song. Okay?
Oh, dear God.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Bob Dylan from his new Christmas album, available today. And I think he sounds better and younger and more vibrant than ever.
Everybody knows a turkey, that's a mistletoe.
Why would I want this?
Have to make the season.
Am I lying if I say that he's better than ever?
Yes.
Tiny little tots with their eyes all
okay, that's...
I think we just crossed the line.
That's too. That's Bob Dylan right there. That's today's celebrity
fail.
Birthdays.
Epic fail.
Mike, I got one for you. How about Joey Belladonna
yeah!
celebrating his birthday today? He, of course, from Anthrax. He is 49. Sammy Hagar turns 62 today. NFL great Jerry Rice, former Dancing with the Stars contestant, is 47 years old today. It's got to be weird to be a guy like Jerry Rice, by the way, who has long retired and is only 47 years old and probably still has 30 years to live.
Yeah.
What's he going to do with the rest of his life? Hopefully he invested well. Former Olympic skating star Nancy Kerrigan is 40 today. Ashanti is 29. Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files, turns 52 years old today. And, of course, the genius comedian who brought us Borat and Bruno and Ali G, Sacha Baron Cohen, is 38 today.
Do you think a woman should be educated?
Definitely.
But is it not a problem that a woman have a smaller brain than a man?
That is wrong.
Give me a smile, baby. Why angry face?
Well, what you're saying is very demeaning. Do you know the word demeaning?
No.
That could have been timed better, but all right.
A lot of people get persecuted just for speaking the truth. You know, I mean, really, Martin Luther King, Jesus, Sacha Baron Cohen, they all come to mind.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have from the Los Angeles Dodgers, Russell Martin, or as Dave says, Russell Maya.
Mm-hmm.
We have work hookup disasters tomorrow.
Okay.
We have a custom South Park Xbox 360 for you to win tomorrow.
Wow.
And listener Robbie is going to come into the studio, and he is going to get a tattoo of Psycho Mike, which sounds like maybe the worst idea ever.
Yeah!
A day he's going to regret.
Nope. Forever, yes.
Nope. And you don't feel like we have any obligation to try to talk him out of that?
No,
have some counselors standing by?
No, let's encourage mistakes.
I don't think we can. He's committed
that's
to
right.
this. That's
right. There's nothing we can do about it, man. We just got to go along with the flow. So that's all tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go anywhere because Kat Corbett is up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. A lot of great music these days, including White Rabbit's Percussion Gun. She'll be playing that. The new one from AFI called Medicate. We also got the new Alice in Chains' Check My Brain, some Weezer, Foo Fighters, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.
Can we follow her and maybe make a sexy
no,
time
no,
with
no,
her?
No.
Why not?
Because a woman has a right to choose who she has sex with.
What?
How about that? That's good, huh?
It's not good for me.